This is PFW in progress.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a gangster. To me, being a gangster was better than being president of the United States. To me, it meant being somebody in a neighborhood that was full of nobodies. They weren't like anybody else. I mean, they did whatever they wanted.
PFW in progress with Fred Kirsch.
He was one of the most feared guys in the city. I mean, he was first locked up at 11 and he was doing hits for mob bosses when he was 16. But what Jimmy really loved to do was steal. I mean, he actually enjoyed it. He was the kind of guy who rooted for the bad guys in the movies.
Paul Perillo.
In prison, dinner was always a big thing. We had a pasta course, and then we had a meat or a fish. Paulie did the prep work. He was doing a year for contempt, and he had this wonderful system for doing the garlic. He used a razor, and he used to slice it so thin that it used to liquefy in the pan with just a little oil. It's a very good system. There was Jimmy and Tommy and me, and there was Anthony Stabile, Frankie Carbone, and Jimmy Two Times, who got that nickname because he said everything twice, like...
And Andy?
And his guys, Frankie the Wop, Freddie No Nose, and then there was Pete the Killer, who was Sally Balls' brother.
Andy Hart.
And then there was Mo Black's brother, Fat Andy.
Some guy named Tom.
Funny how. I mean, what's funny about it? Right. Funny how. Let me understand this, because maybe it's me. I'm a little f***ed up, maybe. I'm funny how. I mean, funny like I'm a clown. I amuse you. I make you laugh. How the f*** am I funny? What the f*** is so funny about me? Tell me. Tell me what's funny.
PFW in progress.
Now go home and get your f***ing shine box.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen. Cannonball!
PFW in progress with Fred Kirsch.
Do you know who I am? I'm kind of a big deal. People know me. I'm very important. I have many leather-bound books and... my apartment smells of rich mahogany.
Paul Perillo.
I'm all about having fun. You know, get a couple of cocktails in me, start a fire in someone's kitchen, maybe go to SeaWorld, take my pants off. Anyway, I become kind of famous for my signature catchphrase.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
And Andy?
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals. He had a voice that could make a wolverine purr, and suits so fine they made Sinatra look like a hobo. In other words, Andy was the balls.
Andy Hart.
I'm the stylish one of the group. I know what you're asking yourself, and the answer is yes. I have a nickname for my penis. It's called the Octagon, but I also nickname my testes. You ladies play your cards right, you just might get to meet the whole gang.
And some guy named Tom.
People seem to like me because I am polite, and I'm rarely late. I like to eat ice cream, and I really enjoy a nice pair of slacks. Years later, a doctor will tell me that I have an IQ of 48, and am what some people call mentally retarded.
PFW in progress.
Gonna find my baby, gonna hold her tight, gonna grab some afternoon delight.
Skyrockets in flight.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. The gang's all here. It's Friday at Gillette Stadium, which means it's a little bit of Patriots Friday for ESPN Radio. So we apologize for the late start, but Mike Felger was conducting a very special interview that if you tune in later to ESPN Radio, you'll be able to hear that with President
Craig,
Jonathan Kraft.
Thank you.
So that is it was a good interview. I was able to sit in on it, and Jonathan was always candid, as he is with most of his interviews. So you can look forward to that. But for now, it's PFW in progress. The email address is webradio@patriots.com. That's webradio@patriots.com.
He might have crap, but we got Eric Scalavino.
Hey, come on.
We got the leg.
It's been a while.
We got the leg. Phone number is 508-543-7482. 508-543-7482. Is Andy and Paul coming down later?
I don't know.
Probably not. I don't know.
Why?
Oh, they gotta edit the paper.
They got pages?
Yeah.
I don't know.
They may or may not be here, but Felger will be back later. because it's Friday.
They have to edit the 55 pages that Tom
Remember
and I wrote
to
for them.
Remember to stop by the Patriots Football Weekly tent on your way to the field and pick up your free Patriots roster with all the current player names
That's
and
Brian
jersey
Lowe.
Numbers.
That's Brian Lowe. But I did read a good Paul wrote a nice little article about the red. Who wrote the Red Zone? Was that you?
Yeah.
Okay. That's something I wanted to talk about. So we'll get into that.
Did you enjoy the article?
I did, and it made me think of something that I wanted to run by you to think, see if you think it makes sense
okay.
as well. But we'll talk about that, and we'll, of course, get to your emails. But first, why don't you guys fill me in on what happened today at Bill Belichick's press conference, what's going on with the media. Being Friday, was it the usual small crew?
Yeah, real small this weekend. Not a lot of people there. You know, locker room, same as always on Friday, kind of a loose bunch, fooling around. You know, that I wish they'd signed Dante Stallworth for the next 10 years. Let me tell you this right now. That guy will never, ever be mad about balls not being thrown his way. He's just he's just loving life. That guy's great. I mean, he was talking about the South Florida, West Virginia game tonight. So first he's telling Gaffney and Brandon Merriweather how good South Florida is. And then he goes, yeah, so you like South Florida? No, West Virginia's going to kill him, he says. But he's just one of those guys. He'll talk about any. He's friends with everyone. You know, everyone that walks through the locker
room.
Seems
like a nice guy.
Yeah, everyone likes him.
Yeah.
And so
one of the
emails, you know, with the questions we get is he going to be upset? You know, because Moss and Welker are getting all the receptions. I don't think so. I think he's happy just being part of the team and, you know, being around the guys.
Yep.
The other thing, do we want to talk about Vince Wilfork?
Yeah. He cleared up. He had a lot to say about the fine, that $12,500 fine for the hit below the waist to Losman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he actually talked before the news of that fine came down. So, you know, his reaction to the fine was more looking ahead to, you know, I'll see what they say about it.
Right.
And I'll deal with it as it comes. So he didn't rule out. Somebody asked him straight up, are you going to appeal anything? And he's like, well, I'll have to see what it is first. But, you know, he didn't rule that out.
I don't think it can hurt to appeal it. Why not?
I don't think so either, especially he was very adamant, very open about the fact that he didn't do this on purpose.
Right.
And if you go on YouTube, you'll see the play. It's on there somewhere. You can see that he didn't when he got past his blocker, the guy turned around and sort of like grabbed at his legs, and he did sort of, you know, make him fall.
Right.
The question now is, was the arm
kind of threw out an elbow, and you know, but
he says he was bracing.
The
himself
only thing
and,
that makes it
you know,
makes it a little it's like to me, I can't tell. I really can't. I've watched it a bunch of times,
right.
And like Andy says, Wilfork's the only guy who's ever going to know. But Losman did say before the game that he wouldn't be surprised if the Patriots did cheat. And that's just the one thing that you kind of,
right.
You know, it's...
But, you know, like, you're going out there, and you know, I don't even know if he was actually looking at Losman when he threw the elbow at. If Losman takes one step forward, he hits him in the waist. If he takes one step backwards, he probably whiffs.
Yeah.
So, I mean, man, he must be pretty amazing to be able to, you know, target that.
Well, that's the thing. See, for me, Fred, this is what it is. If he did it, he was going to do it before the play started, because I think the play happens too quick that when you're going down, you can't say to yourself, you know what, I'm going to throw an arm out and hit his knee, because I think the play happens too quick. So if he did do it intentionally, I think it was something that was premeditated before the game even started. So I don't think, like, during that play, while he was getting blocked, he said, hey, there's Losman's knees, let me hit it. The play happens too quickly for
right.
that to happen. That's why I questioned whether or not it was intentional. I don't think we get to watch this stuff in slow motion. These plays happen within a split second. And I don't think he said, I'm going to take a swing at his knee and try to hurt him.
Plus, you know, well, Vince Wilfork, you know, his wife sometimes meets him on the
yeah.
road. He's a family guy. He wears a picture of his parents on a big chain around his neck
Vince
to remember that. He's not a dirty player. And
no.
I think this bothers him.
And it did. You know, normally when you interview players in the locker room, they turn and face you. They're standing up. You know, Vince was clearly upset by everything that's been said about him this week online or, you know, wherever in the media, fans writing in. And he sat in his chair in front of his locker, looking into his locker with reporters sort of gathered, you know, in a semicircle around that. And, you know, not that he was ashamed, but you could tell he was hurt. You could tell he was hurt by it. And I think he was genuinely trying to get out there that he didn't do this on purpose, and he wanted people to know that he's not a dirty player. And, you know, to you know, when you read in print what somebody says, it's different than getting it in the context of actually hearing and seeing them.
Right.
And you could tell that he was sorry for it. He also said, Fred, that he has been trying this week to get in touch with JP.
Yes.
To try to, you know, talk to him about what happened and to, you know, either say you're sorry for him being hurt
and
or whatever.
And that's why this new medium called the Internet, it's not that new anyway. But
I think it's going to stick around
for a while. But the idea of having these videos, these uncut interviews on, like, Patriots Today, you know, you can see Vince Wilfork. You don't have to rely on a media person filtering what he said and telling you how he looked when he said it. You can see it for yourself now. So I urge people, you know, not just with Vince Wilfork, but to watch Patriots Today, listen to Bill Belichick's press conference live, uncut, unfiltered, and be your own judge about this stuff. Because let me tell you something. Everyone's gunning for the Patriots now. They're waiting for the next shoe to drop. No matter what the Patriots do has any semblance of wrongdoing, everyone's going to jump on it right now. So they're targets. So as Patriots fans, that's at least I am. I don't know about you guys.
But
you have to kind of, you know, get the information for yourself, because if you rely on other people, it's not going to be good.
That's the thing, Fred. Like, I just don't think it's a big deal. Like, if I saw that play anywhere else, I would just say, he'll probably get fined. And that, I wouldn't even think about it. Like, he got fined. The whole, like, making it a big deal about if it was, that kind of play happens all the time.
I remember, I think it was Washington 2 years ago. It was either Ty Warren, I think, was lying on the ground, and the quarterback for the Redskins basically tripped over him, and they called roughing the passer on Ty Warren. I'll never forget. I mean, Ty Warren was already down, and the quarterback basically ran into him, and they called roughing the passer.
Well, that's a whole other issue with you know, how testy they get.
Oh,
with
I know.
I know.
And they should protect this guy, because if you lose these guys.
Yeah, I don't mind about the fine. He was penalized. Yeah. He went low at the knee. That's fine. But I'm just saying, if I was living in Arizona and I saw this play, I would just say, he's probably going to get a fine. Like, I wouldn't think it was that big of a deal.
In the NFL's defense, their job isn't to, you know, judge intent.
No.
All they see is a guy's elbow hit a guy in the knee. That's all they need to see. You know, because
and I don't think the NFL is wrong here.
Because God forbid, if it was Tom Brady, we'd be screaming.
Yes.
No matter who it was, we'd be saying he did it on purpose. So they have to do what they did.
Sure.
You know, if Wilfork wants to appeal it, go appeal it. End of story. We don't want to hear about it. I don't care whether he wins or loses.
And you know
what? The NFL kind of has to do what they did.
Yes, they have to.
And you know what? Vince's argument isn't he doesn't care about the money. Being fined. He cares more about his reputation.
Yeah.
That's being sullied out there right now.
Right.
That's what he cares about the most.
Yep. All right. On the phone right now, Mike and Sharon is standing by. Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing good. You guys?
Hey, Mike.
Very well, Mike. Looking forward to this game Monday night.
Yeah. In terms of this game, except for Rudy Johnson being out, we got a high-powered offense to contend with. And what I'm kind of worried about is the red zone defense. And granted, there's only been 5 attempts, but all 5 have been for touchdowns, I believe.
And that's right.
That's sort of different from our norm of, you know, bend but don't break type style defense. And I was wondering what you guys' thoughts were on that.
I'm glad you brought that up, Mike, because I was talking on the top of the show. Tom did a story on it for next week's PFW, and you're right, 5 trips to the red zone for opponents, 5 touchdowns. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, they're a good defense. They're probably a better defense than they were last year. Why is that? And my answer to that is sense of urgency. I mean, these games are comfortable games.
Well,
they get down there, and I don't think the defense has that sense of urgency that they had last year.
Well, I think there's some truth to it, Fred, because 2 of the scores were later in the games when it was kind of they had the big lead, but 3 of them weren't. I just think in general that's something Belichick really stresses. If you get inside the 20, he doesn't want you. That's why he's so mad about it. Like, normally at a press conference, sometimes he'll be mad over something, and you'll just think it's just him being him.
Right.
He was really mad about the red zone.
Well, I also entire day on it.
What's that?
In practice, doesn't he spend an entire day on
red zone? Oh, but I think one of the first things that Belichick said on the situation is, I need to coach better.
Yes.
And I think coaches feel that a lot of times they need to instill that sense of urgency into their defense. And I just think that the defense knows, hey, you know what? They score. Our offense is just going to come down and score 7 points. I don't think that.
But they want to stop him. Did you hear the quote Vrabel had, though? Vrabel said, we were playing pass when we should have probably been playing run. So I think maybe.
Some miscommunication, maybe.
Maybe the coaches have had the wrong personnel in there and things like that. Listen, I'm not worried about this. Bill Belichick's defense is the last thing on a whole list. If you had a whole list of stuff, that's the last thing I worry about because he'll get this fixed. Trust me.
Yeah, you
and,
know,
they've had the luxury of blowouts right now. If it's a close game and teams are getting in that red zone, they're not going to score 100% of the time.
Right. Yeah. Okay, Mike, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Mike's Mike in Sharon.
But I think some of what you're saying is right, Fred, because when a game's 24-3 and you get down there, I'm not saying they're not. It's just human reaction that maybe you're not digging in as hard if the game's 10-10.
Yeah.
And they've had such big leads.
Right. Yeah. It's 24-0 in the San Diego game at half. You know, close to halftime. I mean, it's
right.
The game is pretty much put away at that point.
I think a lot of it has to do right now with the confidence that everyone has in the offense.
And I'll say, and I'm not making excuses, but the one play where the Jets threw the pass to Coles, that was a phenomenal play by the Jets where he was in the backfield and they had him lined up on Coles.
They lobbed it over there.
Yeah, that was just a great design play. I don't care what kind of red zone defense you have. That play was a great offensive play.
And Samuel actually had good position.
No, that was not that great, one.
That was the other one.
Oh, the other one.
The one, sorry.
Remember where Coles was in the backfield and he came out on the wheel route and Bruschi and Colvin were trying to cover them.
Well, didn't that look like a little bit of a mix-up on the Patriots?
Yeah,
part?
That's what I'm saying. They
because
lost
it was a well-designed play.
Because they put him at running back and he came out and they kind of lost him.
Right.
That was just a great play by the Jets. Really nothing you can do about that one.
And the one you're talking about, Fred, the next Jets touchdown, Samuel, they had run that exact same play.
And they ran it again. Samuel
had great coverage the first time.
Actually,
they ran it again.
Hit the ball, I think.
Yeah. And it just, you know, it was a 50-50 one there.
Jabari Greer for Buffalo. When there's a perfect pass and a perfect throw, sometimes there's nothing you can do about it.
Not much you can do. You're right. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. That's webradio@patriots.com. Phone number is 508-543-7482. You mentioned Rudy Johnson's going to be out for this game.
Mm-hmm.
TJ Huzmanzada showed up on the injury report with a knee. I don't know what that means.
He's had that for a while. He'll play.
He'll play?
Yeah.
Okay. For the Patriots, Stallworth's got a knee. Maroney's got a groin. A little worried about that.
I'd be more worried about Maroney because...
Well, and you know, I was going to say, and here's another thing that one of my thoughts that may or may not have any validity. If you got a running back, if your feature running back, you know, has an injury, unless it's serious, I don't think you should put him on the injury report because if an opposing team knows a guy has an injury, they're going to target him. And I don't think if he's going to play, you don't list him as injured.
Well, but you know what? Maybe
don't they have to play by the rules now?
That's exactly what I was going to say. You know, maybe they're being a little bit more
cautious. Yeah, but if a guy's going to play, he's
going to
play.
But what if he doesn't play? You know what I mean? Now he doesn't play.
Well, that's why I'm worried.
Yes.
That's why I don't think it's a little rinky-dink thing.
Right. If he's not going to play and he wasn't on the injury report, then the league's going
to... That's my point. I don't think it's like, you know, you said Huzmanzada. Well, he's had a knee. He's going to play. I think Maroney might be in
doubt.
Maybe
you're right.
I'm a little worried about that.
So that means Sammy Morris will have to pick up more of the load.
Well, that's my next point. If he doesn't play, you know, are you worried about the Patriots running a game against Cincinnati?
Not this week.
No.
Because I think Morris is a good back to play Cincinnati. He pounds inside. I think Maroney could get some big runs against Cincinnati like he did last year.
Yeah.
But Morris is more than adequate enough to pound in the middle.
I would venture to say that if, you know, he does have a little tweak there in the groin, sit him out next week too. Because the Browns aren't a team that you really worry about their defense either.
No.
Get him ready for
That stretch of Dallas, Miami
on
the road.
You want him healthy for that.
The Redskins, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, well, you definitely, if he has any kind of groin injury, you want that taken care of, because if that lingers for a running back, he's going to be 50% of what he is, and that's not going to help anybody.
That's just what he was last year at the end of the year, so that's hopefully not the case. You know.
Well, I'll tell you what, if Rudy Johnson and Maroney are both out,
it's
going to be a long, long, long game because
there's
going to be a lot more passing than even we thought before.
Now, the backup for
Kenny Watson.
Yeah. He's not a bad guy.
He's a decent, third down type of guy. He's been with a couple different teams.
Bill talked him up this week a little bit.
Yeah, he can do some things for you, but you lose that. That hurts Cincinnati because having Rudy Johnson in there, you lose that threat of a power back. This is more of a receiver out of the backfield type. And
so losing Rudy Johnson hurts Bengals more than losing Maroney.
A lot more.
Yeah, anyway.
Okay.
Because Watson isn't, I mean, you know, they don't really split carries in Cincinnati. You know what I mean? Watson is a third down back who comes in to catch
the
ball.
It's like Kevin Falk.
Yeah, so it's in New England, they're kind of like playing both guys. So you already have a guy who's carried the ball some this year. I just, for the Bengals, it's going to be tough.
All right. Talking about, you know, coming back and persevering and, you know, when everyone's against you. Right now, Craig from South Carolina is on the phone.
Hey, Craig.
Craig, how you doing?
That's one hell of a segue.
Don't let them get you down, Craig. Don't ever, ever let them get you down.
Oh, jeez. I had a few points, the first of which are kind of like fluff-type news related to the game.
Who'd you talk to today on the Patriots, by the way, Craig?
Well, I can't reveal my sources.
Oh, okay.
You know,
I'll
lose contacts out in the future.
Right, right. Your credibility will be shot. That's
But apparently Chad Johnson and Randy have been on the phone quite a bit this week. And
did you tap their lines? What happened?
They're good friends, and I'm pretty sure that Chad's got something up his sleeve if he should happen to score a touchdown.
Okay, well, I'm sure.
It'll be something directed towards Moss.
Well, being a Monday night game, I'm sure that he's been in, practicing all week for whatever.
Yeah, you know what? You ought to practice playing cornerback because, you know, I understand he's all can't wait to score and celebrate, but how about winning? That's more important to me.
Well, that's the thing.
Exactly.
What if they keep him out of the end zone? That just ruins
his night. Well,
they did last. Yeah, I was going to say.
They'll just ruin his night, right?
Well,
everybody loves Chad, you know, and he smiles and happy and joking around and whatnot. And I mean, he's been kind of bummed out, you know. I like Chad, you know. You guys know I'm a diehard Pats fan, but, you know, if we ever had a chance to pick up Chad, I think that would be a great move.
So getting Chad Johnson would be a good move.
Gary with the editorial license and the quick trigger finger. Wow. Oh, my goodness. Now,
and I'm guessing not quick enough for some of our listeners.
I was going to say, you probably got a standing ovation around most
Craig,
of the world.
I am so sorry.
Have we ever pointed out on the show the similarities between Craig from South Carolina and Larry the Cable Guy?
Well, I heard somebody's pointing out the similarities between Craig and me.
Craig and you?
Yeah, that actually they think Craig is me.
What are you, a ventriloquist now?
Because of the latency of the internet, I can do both things.
Oh, okay. Well, it's not, folks. Larry the Cable Guy.
Poor Craig.
I think we might be onto something.
I got to send Craig something. Craig, if you're listening, send your address to me. I'll send you out something. Because Craig's a good listener and a good caller. You know, it's all right.
Gary's shaking his head.
What he needs is his own show. That's a good idea.
That'd be popular.
Let's put an ISDN line in Craig's house in South Carolina. We'll give him a show from 4 to 6.
I tell you what, that's funny right there.
Hell no.
Okay. Well, let's see what the...
he can enlighten us with Chad Johnson would be a good addition.
He'll have better guests than we have. He's got everybody's phone
number. LaDainian Tomlinson would be an excellent running back to acquire.
He knew more than we did about Moss and Chad Johnson talking all week over the phone. We didn't know that. So
Chad Johnson also said he wouldn't be doing anything because he's 1-2. There's no reason to celebrate at this point.
Oh, did he really?
Yes, okay. He did. Yeah.
All right.
Gary knows what he's talking about.
All right. Webradio at Patriots.com. We got a ton of emails coming in. We'll get to them right after this.
When you got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sack Attack sausages, First Down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. And hot Sack Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, First Down Franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demulus Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's, and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine, and Associate Grocers of New England, and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
All right, Jimmy, it's the big day, and we gotta go. Patriots kick off in an hour. Let's make sure we got everything.
All right, let's see. Face paint.
Check.
Helmets.
Check.
Foam fingers.
Check.
Jerseys.
Check.
Checks.
Check.
Check card.
Check.
That's everything.
Let's go, Pats!
Woo!
Let's go, Pats! Let's go, Pats! Let's go!
Check, check, check. That's right. If you really are a true Patriots fan, then you need to open a New England Patriots checking account from Bank of America today. You'll get checks, check cards, and even bank statements, all with the official New England Patriots logo. Bank of America is the official bank of the New England Patriots. So take advantage of this opportunity to make every day game day.
Let's go, Pats!
Woo! And sign up for a New England Patriots checking account today. Bank of America. Bank of Opportunity.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. New England Patriots trademarks, including the Patriots logo, are the property of New England Patriots L.P. and are used pursuant to a licensing agreement with New England Patriots L.P. 2007 Bank of America Corporation. All rights reserved.
Hunger stands no chance against the new Bacon Lover Supreme Omelette Breakfast Sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. Supreme omelette egg with crisp, thicker-cut pepper bacon and Colby Jack cheese. Hurry in today for a whole lot of sizzle, because this irresistible combination of flavor won't be around forever. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer. Dunkin' Donuts. America runs on Dunkin'.
Hey, this is Hall of Famer John Hanna. Let me tell you about the first ever Game with the Greats. Have you ever wondered what former football players talk about when we're watching the game? Well, now you can find out for yourself at the first ever Game with the Greats. On October 14th at Gillette Stadium, watch the Patriots take on the Cowboys in the Fidelity Investments Clubhouse, along with me, a bunch of my teammates, and other Patriot alumni. Guys like Andre Tippett, Steve Nelson, Steve Grogan, and Pete Brock will be there with you to enjoy the game and just hang out. Tickets are limited because they're only $25. Visit the Patriots.com homepage and click on alumni for more information. We're all going to be at the Game with the Greats. Where will you be?
All right, on October 14th, the Patriots will be taking on the Cowboys in Dallas. But Lori will be somewhere else, and she's down here. Lori has stopped by.
I have, and we will be right here at Gillette Stadium with over 25 alumni, including John Hanna, that you just heard.
Right.
And we're looking forward to it, and we hope we have a lot of people coming. We just sent out tickets.
Bray, Hanna, Francis.
So this is called the Game with the Greats.
Did you buy any tissues?
And for Johnson, for $25, you can get into this event. Why are you doing this? What is going on here?
Well, the alumni supports youth. What? Why are you guys laughing already? Anyway, they're giving back to the community.
See, Tom and Eric are like so...
Flirting. They're flirting.
Well, that's what they... They're so nervous.
You don't want to...
They're so nervous. They're sitting next to Lori, and they're like little schoolgirls.
Hey, Fred.
They're like giggling and looking at each other.
Fred, what? Did I bring blueberries in for Lori? Did she make me muffins?
You
no, she did not.
Anything. How could I make
her
anything?
Her and Andy Hart are having an affair. They don't want to admit it. They are. I've never seen anything like it. She's making Andy Hart muffins.
Hold on. Two people on The Office.
Besides, flirting...
Unbelievable.
Fred, in case you don't remember, Lori and I are ex-husband and wife from working last year on Patriots Today.
You couldn't be so lucky.
I got kicked out of the office that she still occupies.
Right.
So I know still, from experience.
I don't know.
There's still some bad blood between us.
You're all red-faced. You're giggling over there. It's like,
jeez.
I'm laughing because...
I was laughing at you, Fred, because you're like, why are you doing this?
Because I was waiting to question her about her ongoing affair with Andy
Hart.
There's
no affair.
I want answers.
I'm not married.
All right.
See that's her excuse. I'm not married.
How can I have an affair if I'm not married?
Well, you can still cheat on your boyfriend,
and then you're just having sex with Andy.
No, I am not.
All right, let's get back to this event. Why
homewrecker?
Why are the alumni doing this?
They are doing this for charity. All the proceeds go right to charity to enforce youth football in the community, and we hope to have a big turnout. We have some really good raffle items. We have a Tom Brady signed football. We have all these jerseys, Stanley Morgan, John Hanna.
And they're all going to be there. Stanley Morgan will be there. John Hanna will be there. Steve Grogan will be there.
All of them. And they're going to reunite.
And you're going to get autographs?
You can bring one item to be autographed, or you can purchase some things that we're going to have on site. But we are trying to get people to really generate some funds in the raffles and the auctions.
Okay. And you're going to be able to get your picture taken with the pro Lombardi trophy?
Yeah, you'll get your Super Bowl
trophies.
There's going to be a photographer right on hand. You can get it right there. Leave with it.
That's awesome.
Friends.
Cheerleaders? They're going to be there?
There's going to be cheerleaders, yes.
Because you know our audience, you know. lot of guys.
Love cheerleaders, right? Guys, they'll be there.
So the games, of course, will be on all the screens.
Right, and you'll be able to hear them talk about how they used to play versus today. And, right. You know, just hearing the guys talk, it's hilarious to hear their stories. And
that's Andre.
It kind of sounds like you, Eric.
And tickets are only $25.
Right, they're $25 for general admission. It just includes you to get through the door. There'll be concession stands open, bar open.
And this is in the Fidelity Investments Clubhouse.
Right here at the stadium. You'll be able to sit in the seats right on the field if you want to, watch the Jumbotrons.
Or you can be inside if it's cold.
Right in front of the fireplace.
It might be cold. You know, you never know.
You think?
It might be. You never know.
Only a couple weeks. It's 80 degrees out today.
I know.
It'll be hot in Dallas.
But that's awesome.
Yeah. And it is for here. Don't be confused. The tickets are not in Dallas. They're right here to watch it with the alumni. We have a lot of people getting confused, but
really?
That's the deal. Yeah.
They thought for $25 you could watch the game in Dallas.
Yeah,
you can't go to the Mecca of the NFL for $25.
Right, oh, right. Right. We will just send out our tickets this week, so if anyone's getting paranoid about that, they'll be getting it shortly. And if they have any questions, they can, you know, write and call whatever they
need
to do.
And so if they want to buy tickets, how can they?
They can go right on the website. There's a little icon. You click right on there. If you want, you can go right to the website and go to alumni.
Patriots.com/alumni.
Or right on Patriots.com. There's a little logo right there that you can click on.
This is John Hanna.
Excellent. Well,
yes.
Lori, thanks for stopping by.
Anytime, guys. Be good around here. Your conversations.
Well, where are you off to? What are you
See Andy.
For?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I forgot. That's right.
She's probably going to pick up Andy lunch, and they're probably she's probably got a picnic basket.
Yeah.
They're going to go out like on the 50-yard line and spread out a blanket.
Wait, Tom, what did I tell you when you were complaining about me making muffins? What did I tell you?
Oh, now you said, I'll make you muffins now.
But you didn't bring me anything to make muffins with.
You've never offered to make me muffins.
You never offered me anything.
The muffins
never
were
said,
good,
Tom,
way.
You have diabetes. Would you like some sugar-free muffins? Never said that to me.
Were those sugar-free?
So let me get this straight. Andy Hart brought in blueberries.
He has blueberries that are grown at his house.
And he gave them to you, and you made him muffins.
I didn't make him muffins. I made muffins. I put them in the office. Everybody ate them.
Yeah, we had some yesterday or 2 days ago.
One day he wasn't going to be here, and she goes, then I won't make your muffins if you're not going to be here.
That's never true.
Yes, you did.
No.
Yes, you did.
No.
I was there.
Now,
I can vouch.
Now, why didn't Andy give...
Wait, time out. Why are you teaming up on me?
Well, because... I don't know. Because they always
I think
up
you're
on
kissing
me.
Up to Tom. I think you're kissing up to Tom. That's the truth.
Oh, yeah.
That is the truth.
Anyways. Now, why give them to... why did Andy give you the blueberries rather than Paul? Because Paul bakes...
Paul Bakes?
Yeah, he's a big baker.
He's never baked me anything.
Paul?
Yeah, Paul Bakes.
Are we talking about Paul Perillo or her Paul?
Paul Perillo Bakes.
Paul Perillo Bakes.
Yeah, he's a big baker.
Why am I just finding out about this?
I don't think he bakes.
That's
Does
one of
bake?
His side hobbies. He loves to bake.
Are you being serious?
Yeah, absolutely.
If I ever walked in and saw Paul with one of like those aprons on with a chef's hat baking, I think
flour
I
would... all over his face.
Sure. No, he loves baking.
I know he likes to eat.
Yeah. So, all right.
Did he have a muffin? I don't even think he had a muffin.
I had one.
I'm sure he had.
I'm pretty good at
were
it.
The, were the two muffins that were gone?
You just caught me with your mouth full.
Left?
Were they still there
the next
morning? You know what's good about
it?
You know, sometimes you get the blueberry muffins and they're really dry. And there's you can see the blue from the blueberry, but you really can't taste it.
No, these were good.
You eat your muffins. They're moist and it just pops in your mouth.
Oh, God.
What?
That's a sound bite waiting to happen. That is a sound bite.
Gary's having a
Gary's here.
No, I tasted the muffins and they're excellent.
You don't have to even get him a wedding present. Now.
Gary's on the floor. Gary's literally on the floor. Somebody call 911.
You can't say anything around here.
Merry Christmas, Gary.
You can't say anything around here with you guys.
He's already fast at work at his thing.
No, they were delicious.
Thank you.
Your muffins, as red as the moist? Jacket he's wearing right now, the poor guy.
All right.
Oh, Fred.
We have fun here.
All right. All right, thanks, guys.
Thanks, Lori. Have a good lunch, and say hello to Andy for us. That's the great Lori Baranski. She has stopped by to talk about the Game of the Greats. That's October 14th. Get your tickets on Patriots.com. All right, guys, back to football. What were we talking about?
I don't know, Patriots.
We're talking about Red Zone.
Yep.
Red Zone.
Yeah, we've solved that problem.
Yep. Will Fork, we talked about.
We talked about
Rudy Johnson not playing.
Okay.
Maroney in the groin pull on the injury report.
All right. So we're up to date. Anything in the locker room? How was the locker room today? I noticed that Dean Pease and you were interviewing Matt Patricia.
Yes. Yeah, I'm working on I'll give fans a little teaser here.
Just in case people don't know, Matt Patricia
He's the linebackers coach for the Patriots. Talked with him. I'm working on a feature down the line, probably November or December, on what it's like to be an assistant coach in the NFL. Obviously, we work here, so I'm going to focus on our assistants. But just to give fans an idea of what their life is like on the job, away from the job.
I'm sure you'll get a lot of information there.
Well, actually, Matt Patricia was really good. I got to say,
was
he was excellent. I talked to him for about 10 minutes, and he was very forthcoming.
He's a nice guy.
He's a very nice guy, and hopefully this is just the first of several interviews I'm going to be doing over the next few weeks.
Wow.
So look for that
to
later
look forward
in the year.
To. Well, I'm sure that'll be on Patriots.com or Patriots Football
Patriots
Weekly.
Patriots Football
paper.
Weekly.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then I saw Paul Perillo interviewing Dean Pease.
Yep.
Out in the hallway. So I'm sure he's getting good stuff.
And I'm going to do a feature story, and this is true, by the way. I'm not joking around, coming up about Dante Stallworth. It's going to be the world according to Dante.
It's going
to
be a great one.
We're going to do word association. I'm going to say politics, sex, and just have him go off because this guy will say anything about anything. So it's going to be the world according to Dante.
You could do that with Heath Evans, too, probably.
Yeah, but it's more entertaining with Dante Stallworth.
Heath is a great interview, but for what Tom wants to
do,
you're just going to get some of the most ridiculous things.
Is this one I'm going to have to closely edit?
Oh, no, because he'll just be at his locker, and you'll hear him talking about like the presidential race, and he'll give his thoughts on that. Then he'll start talking about college football, then the NBA.
He's very knowledgeable.
I mean, he's all over the
and
place.
And he has opinions about everything. So that's and he's not willing. He's not shy about it. So that's a great combination.
He doesn't
combination.
Say anything like bad for the, like,
no,
the
no,
team,
no.
like something Bill
no.
wouldn't want him to say. It's just his thoughts on
and
stuff.
And it's just entertaining stuff, though.
Okay.
You know? Stuff you don't normally get from players.
All right. Later on the show, Mike Felger will join us. I think
thing.
He's eating lunch right
Mike
now.
Mike Felger's
so
got a hell of a looking salad in front of him. It's, you better watch
he's
out.
Whatever
he might tackle him.
Oh,
we got Caesar there.
He's got
Mike?
A Greek salad. Is that a Greek salad?
I like
salad?
A good salad.
It's a mega pizza there, Fred.
Oh, delicious.
I worry about the long-term viability of a mega pizza. See what they're doing over there in that neighborhood?
No.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Oh, the Mansfield Crossing?
Right, yeah.
I mean, not Mansfield, the
Foxborough.
Yeah.
I think they're building like a town hall or a police station. And
yeah.
They're tearing up roads. And
yeah, they're doing some retail stuff there,
I
too.
I wouldn't be shocked if that were a, you know, whatever.
Yeah, but every town needs its own little pizza place.
That's what I'm
place.
Saying. I'm worried that this own little pizza place is going to go bye-bye.
Every town either has an Omega Pizza or a town pizza.
I'm not thrilled with the building there.
You're not thrilled with it?
No, not at all.
You live there,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I live right there.
Yeah, I mean, for the same reason. It's like it was just a sort of a quiet little corner.
Are you living in those built. That new housing development there?
No.
In Tachia's place?
Where?
You know, in Tachia Builders, they have that little development there.
You're talking about the houses that are $850,000?
I don't know how much they are.
No, I'm not living in those yet, Fred. How about we talk about a raise?
Yet, though. He's hopeful. I hear a glimmer of hope there.
Huh?
Yet, you said.
Well, I'm hoping Felger moves on to a real radio show and I just take his over.
Isn't it amazing how I give these guys life? If it wasn't for my program, they would only have the internet. And yet, all they do is rag on me and my station.
What did I rag
show.
About?
Welcome to my world.
I said if you get
a real radio show.
Welcome to my world.
Like a bigger show, then I'll take over yours. What's wrong with that?
He used to like big salads. Now he likes plain breasts.
Felger, you're the only reason I have anything.
That's what I'm saying.
You and Fred were the only two people stupid enough to believe in me.
I'm regretting that everything.
All
right.
Listen to you.
Web radio at patriots.com is the email address, 508-543-7482.
We got any emails?
Let's get to we got a lot of emails. Quickly, we'll catch up here. This is from Jimmy Page from Led Zeppelin. I don't know. He says, my response to Spygate, may every fan buy one to help Bill pay his fine. Buy one what? Oh, he's got something. I don't know.
This is absurd. Let's take up a collection.
We used to call them scouts when I played. So Jimmy was actually a player.
Let's take up a collection for
Jimmy Page, when did you play? Because I'm going to search you on the internet when I get back upstairs.
Okay, we need to know when you played, Jimmy.
When you played high school football like I did?
Let's see. Sawyer from Waterloo. Says, since I've been away for the last couple weeks, I've been trying to catch up on some missed football with all the shows I've been listening to. One thing has been common. Craig from South Carolina. Something has always bothered me about him besides the obvious thing. Then it dawned on me. Craig is Fred. Think about it.
Oh,
have you ever seen the two of them in the same room and the times Craig has been on the phone when Fred is there has to do with the latency of the internet? This guy, Craig, is a blind homer, makes outlandish or stupid statements, and talks about his techie gadgets like 52-inch TVs and DVRs.
For the Don
Jersey. Also, last week, I think it was Paul who said something good about the Pats, and Craig took it to the extreme and added they were great. Sounds like Fred to me. And who else would be able to get Asante's phone number and beg him to come back? And what really tipped me off is when people came down on Craig, he pouted and took his ball home and went until you told him to come back. So to
so
all
now
the
you
fans,
think he's Paul?
Stop ripping Craig. You're only ripping our lovable loser, Fred.
It's not Fred.
No, that's not good.
No, I've never seen him in the in the same room, thank God, because Craig has never been here.
It's not Fred. Relax.
I'll say this on Asante Samuel. We haven't really got him seen him play yet, have we? I mean, has he been tested? He's made a few plays. He's looked good. He hasn't certainly been exposed.
No, he hasn't been tested.
But well, the team hasn't been tested.
He wasn't here for 2 months.
He'll be tested this week.
Yeah, you got to think.
Yeah, this is going to be a good week for him.
Got his first pick the other day, though. So, you know.
But, I mean, you know, Mike, you should have such good callers as Craig. This is the guy who came on our show and sang the national anthem for us. I mean,
well,
you know.
Sing.
Boy, he's actually trying to stay in business, despite popular belief.
I think he groaned the national anthem.
Not all that in a bag of chips.
All right.
All right.
Justin in Alaska, just a quick note to Paul.
Who's not
Thanks
here.
For clearing up that whole possession-slash-kick lateral in the 0-1 championship game. I still think you're the smartest one there.
So does he.
Yeah. Also, to answer your question.
You know what Paul's nickname is at the Herald real quick?
Pee-pee.
No. Well, Pip is what he's called in his hometown.
Yeah.
But at the Herald, you know what he's known as?
What?
Bullwinkle. He thinks he knows everything.
Whoa. Okay.
Keyword there is think.
Also, to answer your questions from yesterday, I'm from Anchorage, which has about 290,000 people. So we're not too small. We have in our local area about 15 or so high schools that we officiate. I'm actually the vice president slash trainer of our association. So when I heard that on Wednesday, I had to respond. What was going on with Justin in Alaska?
I have no idea.
Guys making fun of him?
I have no idea what this email's about.
We got to have respect for our listeners. You know, you guys, you know, going to lose, you know, if you keep demeaning our audience.
They love it.
People are emailing in saying, I'm too nice now. They want me to go back to the old Tom where I was beating people up.
Fred.
What?
You remember when you were in school, the only people you picked on were your friends. No, they were your friends.
I picked on people like you.
If you didn't really like someone, you didn't pick on them. So
keep telling yourself that, Eric.
I did.
So, that's what Eric said. Well, they're picking on me.
Yeah, I used to pick on the mentally challenged people. I used to pick on the geeks.
That's
you. I used to pick on the nerds.
That's you. But we all pick on each other. So don't take it personally, all you fans out there. We do it because we love you.
No, we do. We just have fun. I mean,
if we didn't care about you, we wouldn't talk about you.
I mean, I get picked on the most, so. But it's fine. I'm comfortable in my position, so I can take it. John is in Palm Bay, and he's on the phone. John, how you doing?
Hey, good. How you guys doing?
You all right? Did you just wake up?
No, I'm just getting a little cold.
Oh, I'm sorry. You got a cold in Florida. That's a bad place to have a cold.
It's like having a summer cold all the time.
Yeah.
Hey, I got a couple of quick questions, and maybe you guys would have the answer up. The first one is Ronnie Harrison will be back on Ronnie Harrison will be back on the team Monday, correct?
Yes. Well, not Monday, but
well,
yeah, next
after
week
this game.
After this game.
Will they have to?
Why is it not Monday?
Because they have a game Monday, Felger.
I'll be back later on.
Will they have to get a waiver or drop someone?
They have
Good
to drop
question.
Somebody.
Yeah, they'll have to make room on the roster somehow for him.
Who goes?
Rashad Baker.
Sakes, I don't know.
Rashad Baker.
No, Rashad Baker isn't going anywhere.
Dan Clifford.
Come on, use your head.
All right, well, name somebody. You said you had no idea. Name somebody.
One of the bottom of the barrel players. Rashad Baker actually is in the mix if somebody gets hurt to play safety. He's not just a special teams guy.
No, but he was on the team also because they were down a safety.
I don't
now
think
they're
that's
not.
True. He's there because Artrell Hall.
All right, well, who? Then who? Who's going to go?
I don't know. Some schmuck, Corey Mays, somebody like that.
Corey Mays gets a lot more run on special teams, I think.
Well, a lot of people get a lot of run on special teams. How many of those guys are you going to keep?
All right, fine.
I mean, Willie Andrews, Mel Mitchell.
No, Willie Andrews is a lock. Come on.
I agree, but, I mean, who are you talking about? Rashad Baker.
That's what I'm talking about.
Why does it have to be a safety?
I'm just thinking that's a logical choice. If you have a safety coming
I'll
back,
bet you
wait, how about number 98? What is he
Chad
still
Brown?
Doing?
Yeah,
here?
That's what I'm saying.
All right, well, that's a possibility.
Other guys
okay.
other than Rashad Baker who you can cut.
You didn't name any, Tom.
Well, because there's 100 of them sitting at the bottom of the barrel. It's not Rashad Baker. That's what I'm telling you.
Okay. All right.
Okay, but that's a good question. They do
have to
make room on the roster.
My other question is about the NFL. Is the December games against Jets and Steelers. I know the NFL, NBC has a right to move one of them to a 9 o'clock start. But it depends on what the other networks say they can do. Do you think one of them will be moved or both?
Probably both, but here's the thing.
Move? Fred, were you nuts?
The network is allowed to protect one game. So, for example, CBS, and I'm not sure which game CBS has protected, but they may have already protected the Pittsburgh or the Jets game, and it can't be moved.
Well, let me ask you something. How many primetime games in a row are they going to play? because they play the Ravens on Monday night. They play the Giants on Saturday night. Now you're telling me they're going to play two more night games? I'm pretty sure Bill Belichick and Mr. Kraft will have a problem with that.
Well, they already and they already have the Sunday night after Thanksgiving against the Eagles, which is also a
my point is, Fred, I don't think it can be done. I don't think you can ask a team to play all those consecutive night games with the playoffs right around the corner.
I'm right with you there, Tom, but this is the NFL, man. They're going to do whatever's best for the ratings.
So you know, that's going to hurt the team.
You don't think that Jets Patriots game is going to get moved?
I think it's going to be 70-0. I don't think it should be moved. Look, I think it's going to be 70-0.
I'm not saying whether you think it should be.
My point. If they lose in the playoffs, then fans will have a right to complain about they played too many night games, in my opinion.
Here's what's more likely. I think that Pittsburgh game will get moved to the 4 o'clock slot. That could be the doubleheader game or the game of the week kind of thing.
Right. That could happen,
because
too.
The week or so before, they're playing Philly at home at night. And like Tom said, they got the Monday night Ravens game, which is going to change.
They have the Giants.
And they have the Giants at the end of the
Saturday
season.
Night.
So if anything.
Move back to 1 o'clock.
If anything.
It's on NFL Network. It's on a Saturday.
I would put my money on that game maybe going to 4 o'clock. The Jets game, I think, will stay at 1. So I don't think you have too much to worry about there. But they don't have to make that decision for another month or so.
By the way, Fred, seriously? And people in California and Dallas, do you think they give a crap about the Jets and the Patriots because of some Spygate thing that happened 4 months ago?
Well, it's one of the reasons why I think they should move the league offices out of New York and into the Midwest.
Because New England?
It's too New York-centric. It's too East Coast-centric. You know, they think that everything revolves around the Giants and the Jets.
It does. Everything does revolve around the East Coast.
I agree with Felger.
This is where the money's made. This is where things happen.
How about the universe?
You know, Los Angeles hasn't had a team for 15 years. Nobody cares.
And exactly. They don't care.
Cleveland didn't have a team for 2 years, and people were killing each other.
I think a lot of the other teams get sort of the short end of the stick.
Yeah. Well, you know what? You know, tough.
Nah.
Get out of Cowtown.
I'm not like that, Mike. I mean, you know, I would think someone coming from Cheesehead Land like you are.
Here's the difference of me, Fred.
Yeah.
I am objective. It doesn't matter where I'm from or what team I root for.
Right.
I just call it as I feel it, not from where I'm
from. So, Tom, do you agree with Tom that the rest of the country could give two you-know-whats about the Patriots and the Jets when they play next December?
I think there would be portions of the country who couldn't. Who cares about them?
Well, I mean, you know.
I'm just saying. I think the Patriots are going to be a much better football team.
But the league office thinks that everybody cares. Because, you know, there's
Fred, when I'm at home on Sunday or Monday night, I want to watch a good game. I really don't care. If the Cowboys and Redskins both stink, don't put them on TV because I don't want to see
it. I agree with you.
I'm agreeing with you.
But the league is clouded by where they are.
Well, but the league also has only moved games that have had playoff implications that late in the season.
And by the way,
Fred, that's not
true. By
the
way,
they want big markets.
No, by the way, that's how that damn tape came out, because you got a bunch of Jets and Giants fans in the league office who gave the damn tape back to the Jets,
then
leaked it to Glazer, who, by the way, used to have a show on WFAN, is all about New York. It's all New York, New York, New York, New York.
You're right. The Pats really don't get any play.
That's right. They're against us. The world is against Patriots Nation.
I love how he laughs.
He can't even say that with a straight face.
I mean,
he had a laugh in the middle of that one.
You have to respond to that?
Who's emailing us, Fred?
Let's see. Simon. Hugh Millen jersey Gibson. He's got a Hugh Millen jersey. And he's bragging about it. That's weird. He says, so it's 1:30 a.m.
What are you, running the show now? Who's emailing? I mean, come on.
I'm trying to help him out.
Let's see. It's 1:30 a.m. I'm listening to you guys, and I'm albeit a little tipsy after some Miller Lights, keeping it real for you, Paul, cracking up at the quote of the show. Andy, I thought court-martial meant you literally got taken out to the courtyard and they shot you. Paul, I'm all for it if you're involved. Fred, sound effect of rifle shooting. Paul, I hate you. Paul, why do you have to be so mean? Andy says, I'm just saying. So that's his quote of the...
Next time, email in when you're sober.
And just for the record, the Pats are now officially, in my opinion, an even match for Indy's offense. Ben Watson is bigger and showing better results than Dallas Clark. And our receiver threat, I think, is up to par with the Colts. Moss is the deep threat, but you spread the defense to him, and now you have Stallworth and Welker with the open routes both deep and short. And in terms of defense, I can't see how Indy is any match compared to the solid lineup that the Pats currently have. I do think Indy will be the clutch game this season for AFC playoff berths between the two teams, but I can't help thinking that pound for pound, our team is going to outplay them. I believe this is the year that Peyton will get that proverbial monkey again on his back, after slipping out of last year's AFC Championship with a win. Loving the show as always. That's Simon. So
that's why we call you sunshine.com, fellas.
Why, what's wrong with that, Mike?
It's just a fan. It's just
I'm
a fan.
Sensing an edge. Fan. You, I'm sensing an edge from
okay,
Fred. Is that,
okay,
is that the
so
case?
You can't
it's
say
the last few minutes.
You can't say that you think the Patriots are better than Start the Colts up. At this point in the season? And you know, have some semblance of reasonableness to that statement?
No, it's just the it's just sunshine.com.
So anytime any fan says something good about the Patriots, they're just, you know,
well,
a homer.
I mean, when you sound like a fan, yeah. Sure.
Well, I think he stacked up the team against the Colts on paper. He said on paper. He made that clarification.
When's the last time the Patriots stopped the Colts or came close?
With this team? Never, because they haven't played with this team yet. We don't know. It's just on paper. It's all speculative.
Right.
You know? So I don't think it's unfair to make that speculation at this point.
No, hey, the Pats are my Super Bowl team.
Not saying like the Packers are better than the Colts, which would be an out-and-out lie.
The Pats are my Super Bowl team, too.
You know, so what's wrong with that?
Nothing wrong, Fred.
Okay. You know, so, you know, don't be so quick to jump on these people.
You think they're evenly matched? No, I'm not jumping on them. I'm jumping on you.
I'm talking about Felger.
Let's get one thing straight.
Paul's here, by the way.
I noticed an edge with you, Fred. When what? I was getting my, you know, feeding my fat face in the other room.
Where'd you get the hot dogs?
Right in the other room.
Do they have hot dogs?
They do, Fred. Okay. Does that mean it's time for you to take a break?
It might be. Yeah.
Okay.
But unbelievable.
We had a thing yesterday. Tom and I were on one side. Andy was on the other. Where Andy said, help me out if I misquote you, Andy. No comparison. Between
Careful,
the,
I got that cap in
Was
my
it
hand.
No comparison between the Patriots and the Colts right
yeah,
now?
No
the Patriots
comparison.
Are,
Who said
Bob,
that?
Andy.
Well, I disagree with that.
Well, and that's what Tom and I said. We disagree with it. That was all. Not that we thought the Patriots weren't better. I do think they're better because I think their defense is better than Indy's.
But it's
I just don't
be a
think
heck of a game.
I don't think it's light years ahead, but other people do. And the emailer there agreed with Andy.
He just said that they're up to par.
I think the Pats.
I don't think that they're saying that they're. All he's saying is they're up to par
offensively. They're on par now. I would agree with that.
Okay, but Felger's calling him a homer for saying that.
Well, that's Felger. What are you going to do?
There you go.
Felger's tired of losing
Mike,
to my team.
I want to help you out here with your career.
Don't!
Okay? I really want to help you out here with your career.
Okay?
Uh-huh. You know,
you're really helping us out.
Are you getting this?
In light of the Patriots' success over the last 6 years, you don't be like these guys that have to worry about, oh, the last thing I can be thought of is a homer. Okay? You're better than that. Okay, there was a time when you did look at this team objectively, but now you're a little bit afraid of
Fred,
people calling you a homer. So you've gone
I'm
to the far extreme the other way. I'm trying to reel you back
I've
in.
I picked them to win the
Mike,
Super Bowl. What
if you
more
wanna,
do you want from
Mike,
me?
If you want to come back to the fold, I will talk with Patriots Nation, and we'll see about getting you back in. We'll welcome you back, Mike. It's okay.
Yeah, I don't know. You have that kind of pull?
I do. I can mobilize the nation. We can get you back in.
With just a nod.
We'll give you back your card. You can put it back in your wallet.
Fred, I'm going to consider that. That's a touching offer by you. It really is.
All right, Gary, let's take a break. I'm going to get a hot dog.
When you've got a lineman-sized hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Hot Sack Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
All right, Jimmy, it's the big day, and we gotta go. Patriots kick off in an hour. Let's make sure we got everything.
All right, let's see. Face paint.
Check.
Helmets.
Check.
Foam fingers.
Check.
Jerseys.
Check.
Checks.
Check.
Check card.
Check.
That's everything.
Let's go, Pats!
Woo!
Let's go, Pats! Let's go, Pats! Let's go!
Check, check, check. That's right. If you really are a true Patriots fan, then you need to open a New England Patriots checking account from Bank of America today. You'll get checks, check cards, and even bank statements, all with the official New England Patriots logo.
Bank of America is the official bank of the New England Patriots. So take advantage of this opportunity to make every day game day.
Let's go Pats!
And sign up for a New England Patriots checking account today. Bank of America. Bank of Opportunity.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. New England Patriots trademarks, including the Patriots logo, are the property of New England Patriots L.P. and are used pursuant to a licensing agreement with New England Patriots L.P. 2007 Bank of America Corporation. All rights reserved.
Hi, this is Richard Seymour. If you're a big Patriots fan, show your team pride and win great prizes by ordering your Patriot specialty license plate. Team Rules says your car has to be registered in Massachusetts to be eligible. When you place your order, you have the chance to win Patriots tickets and memorabilia. Proceeds from the sales of the license plates go to the New England Patriots Charitable Foundation. Now that's worth driving for. To score your new set, apply online or in person at your local RMV or log on to Patriots.com for more details. Show your team spirit, give to a great cause, and get your Patriots license plate today.
Hey, this is Hall of Famer John Hanna. Let me tell you about the first ever Game with the Greats. Have you ever wondered what former football players talk about when we're watching the game? Well, now you can find out for yourself at the first ever Game with the Greats. On October 14th at Gillette Stadium, watch the Patriots take on the Cowboys in the Fidelity Investments Clubhouse, along with me, a bunch of my teammates, and other Patriot alumni. Guys like Andre Tippett, Steve Nelson, Steve Grogan, and Pete Brock will be there with you to enjoy the game and just hang out. Tickets are limited because they're only $25. Visit the Patriots.com homepage and click on alumni for more information. We're all going to be at the Game with the Greats. Where will you be?
All right, welcome back to PFW in Progress. You know, I feel that if they're going to take the time to cater and bring down the food, I should eat it. I think it's only a common courtesy. And they really came through because they put sauerkraut on the
hot dogs. I agree, Fred. Who's they, by the way?
Well, Fred, you're just like Patriots. Throwing people to the side now.
Gillette Stadium
all of a sudden,
catering.
When food arrives, it's like you've never eaten before.
Get the hell out of my way.
And I've seen you. You've eaten before.
I'm just hungry. It's what? It's 1 o'clock. I haven't eaten all day.
You're not eating breakfast, are you?
No, I
why?
That's the problem.
I'm just not a morning person, man.
You got to have breakfast.
I get up,
so
I get dressed,
sugar,
and I get the hell
blood,
out of there. I'm not like one
dropping.
Of those guys that like sit down at the kitchen table, has my orange juice, reads the paper.
No, you don't have to
you
do that.
You don't have to do that. You got to at least have something, though.
You know why, too, Fred? Because
I just get the hell out of the house.
But you know why? You're not like me. You're not just sitting around doing nothing. You actually do things. So, like, you're running around all day. You got to have a muffin or something inside you.
Well, I had one of Lori's muffins the other day. And they were delicious.
Paul's going to choke.
Moist, and they popped in my mouth.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
They did. The blueberries were just,
all
you know.
Right.
That's
awesome.
Going in your file.
They
awesome.
Were, they were just
seriously.
Plump. And,
yeah,
you know,
boom.
Fred.
Bang.
All right. Web radio at patriots.com's email address, 508-543-7482. Andy, you going to get involved in the show, or are you just going to sit there in the leather chair watching TV? Oh,
has,
no microphone for
you can
Andy.
Come and share.
Because
Andy.
I'm here.
Eric's giving you the offer to share a mic with him.
I don't want to be that close to Eric.
He doesn't want to be close to Eric. Okay. All right. PJ writes in. He says, hey, guys, I'm starting to look forward to the Bengals game, and there have been some new developments over the last 24 hours. I'm hoping you can comment on them if you haven't already. Supposedly, Maroney is fighting a groin injury. Do you guys think anything about that? And now Rudy Johnson is out. I think this makes the Bengals even more one-dimensional than they already are, which plays right into the hands of BB and the Pats defense. Also, let's play a little over-under. You ready? Quickly. Tom Brady TDs in the game. 3.
Haven't we already done this like 5 times this week? I think it's going to be 3 again.
Is this just going up to week
push.
5 or whatever?
No, like no. It's just for this game. Tom Brady incompletions for the game. 6.
Over.
Over.
Wes Welker catches 5.
Over.
Over.
Wes Welker yards, 5. That's for you,
oh,
Fred.
Come on.
Under.
Making fun of me. Colvin sacks, 1.5.
Over.
Under.
Over.
Gostkowski over. Missed under. Field goals, 1.
Over.
Under.
Push. Same push. Push.
All right.
They're all pushes.
And did you guys also hear about the pigeon problem in Cincinnati? If not, you have to check it out on profootballtalk.com. There's a write-up about it. They are actually thinking about using guns to shoot the pigeons out of the air. So
good.
Make sure to paint a red bullseye on Fred's shirt.
Fred,
what do you think of Lawrence Maroney?
I think I'm a little worried. I was explaining to Tom, if your feature back has an injury.
Leg injuries especially,
yeah,
you know.
Well, unless if you think he's going to play, don't list it.
because he's your you don't want your running back out there with a target. But if you think that there's
that's
a
Fred Kirsch advocating continuous cheating. Go ahead. Outstanding.
All right.
I'm just kidding. Why do you have to be like that? Because I usually get that from Andy. Why are you?
You know, for
be
someone
like
who actually,
I was just kidding.
For someone who actually played the game, albeit at a low level,
I didn't play the game. I played in high school.
I would think you know a little bit more about you know how football works. But anyway, I just think that I'm really worried about
as opposed to someone who never played the game telling me how the game worked.
I played.
I played.
I'm a little worried about the fact that. You know, he's listed because I think it's fairly serious.
No, I agree with you on that. Yeah. The fact that he's there, and like I said, you know, hamstrings, knees, groin injuries.
You didn't
see him? Haven't seen him all week.
Yeah, he wasn't in there.
Okay, so you guys think this one's serious?
That's not good at all.
Yeah.
Wow.
Got some concern there.
Yeah. Interesting. How about Vince Wilfork? I hear that one may be dicey as well.
Oh, I didn't hear about anything about him.
Well, he has been in the locker room, though. And usually they don't talk when they play. Well, who knows?
But he did have that fine thing, too, so maybe he had to talk about that.
He didn't have to.
But he's been in the locker room. Well, Maroney, I haven't seen. I don't think all week.
No, I have not seen Maroney.
Yeah, he was in there earlier this week.
Fred, on the record talking?
No, not talking.
Haven't seen him once.
Could I just offer up a suggestion for the over/under stuff?
Yes,
can,
Tom.
Can you do halves like 3.5, 2.5?
Good point.
Because if you say 3, that's what I think it's going to be. 3.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. So we're saying then you say push.
Okay. So
to say over under 3
halves.
to go with the over, you have to say that he's going to match his career high. You know that's kind of hard.
Okay.
Even though I think that Brady is obviously going to have a huge game Monday night.
That's fair. Nick in Las Vegas says, any word on Dylan? Does he want to latch on with a team this year, or is he thinking of calling it a career?
I can't really answer the first, but the second part was answered for him when no one offered him a contract.
He retired last year, and I literally mean last year, about game number 9.
Okay.
He's a waste of space.
I think
anybody could have done what he did last year for this team. And if you think differently, then you're just kidding yourself.
What do you think of that, Fred?
What's that?
What do you think of that?
No stats.
What Tom just said?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's true. He's not here anymore. That's true.
Aaron from Toledo. Since I started listening only last year, I was wondering, was Michael Felger ever part of your show? If he was, I'm glad I missed those dark days.
Oh.
Also, I have a question. Do you think if Randy Moss keeps this up for another 3 or 4 years on the Pats, do you think he will go into the Hall of Fame as a Patriot?
Well, he won't be here for 3 or 4 years.
Well, they don't
years.
Do that in the NFL, though,
yeah,
right?
No, you
don't
go in.
You go in as the player,
and they list who you played for.
Right.
So,
and also, I do think that Randy Moss is a Hall of Famer, by the way.
Also, do you expect to see defensive packages this year that will feature Seau and Bruschi on the inside and Thomas and Colvin on the outside, thus giving Thomas a chance to completely showcase his talent? And P.S., are you going to have a show next Tuesday since the Pats are playing on Monday night?
No.
No on the P.S.
Yes. No. Well, Tuesday will be Patriots Monday.
Right.
It'll be a whole day of Patriots Monday. Right, Gary?
Correct.
Okay.
And I don't think they're going to move Thomas to the outside because that means that Bruschi would have to play inside. He doesn't really play that much anymore, so.
You know what? I don't feel that bad about Thomas not being outside anymore.
No. It worked out fine because Vrabel's back where he likes to be, and he's having a good year.
And it looks like Thomas is going to be able to make some plays in there.
And he's kind of
He's so good that he's found a way to make an impact in there as well.
That middle area that they had some trouble with last year a little bit better, where I don't think Bruschi and Seau are quick enough to do it.
Especially Bruschi. I mean, when's the last time he's been around the ball?
Someone emailed in and asked if he's played this year.
I mean, really?
It's funny you said that. I don't know this to be sure for sure, but someone told me today when he played early, most of his snaps on Sunday were earlier in the game. The second half was almost all Seau with Thomas. The most extended playing time he got in the first day, he played 10 snaps in a row, and it was all during that scoring drive that Buffalo scored.
Huh.
Now, I don't know if that's 100% for sure, but somebody told me that today, that he played 20-something snaps, and 10 of them came on that scoring drive.
I mean, he used to be, whether interception or a fumble. I mean, he was always
around the ball.
Around the ball and making plays on the ball, and he's never there anymore, ever.
Let's see. Joey Feep writes in.
Hey, Joey
Feep. He wants a truce with Tom. He says, hey, guys, to Tom Casale, I find myself agreeing with you more often than not lately. What do you say about a truce?
That
took me a while to get acclimated to your verbosity.
Look at that douchebag. Here's the problem, Joey. I'm an annoying loudmouth, and I rub a lot of people the wrong way. But if you're into a truce, I'm all for it.
All right, put me in the 16-0 camp. I don't
ever say that again.
Could go 25-0 if they really wanted to.
I really believe that they can slash will do it if they get past Dallas and Indy in their places. 9-0 after a week at, win at Indy. If that's the case, it's just a matter if they want to do it and no really costly injuries, of course. To Tom, regarding other players coming to the Patriots, I will root for any player wearing a Patriot uniform. My one caveat is that they are never convicted of any felony crimes. Assault charges against Tika Sally would be overlooked, of course. To the PFN gang, Fred, Andy, and Paul, you're excellent as usual. Love the show. To Eric the Lake Scalavino, talk up more and don't take the rest of the gang's crap. And the new website, I like it fine. No problems negotiating it. Okay, Joey, I like you now. That's it.
That was Gary. That wasn't Tom Casale.
Joey, Gary has just blown up an email for the first time.
Oh, no, not the first
time.
He's
got an itchy trigger finger over there.
Especially lately.
Week. Yeah.
Poor Craig hasn't been able to get a word in via email.
No, you missed it earlier.
He got another one?
He got blown up. In the middle of
sentence.
After he said Chad Johnson would be a good acquisition for the Patriots.
As he was saying that.
Dave from Storrs, Connecticut. Or it might be Dave Storrs from Connecticut. I'm not sure. But he says, today is my favorite day of the week. I'm pumped to hear Fred and Felger invent some new stupid thing to argue about. Every time Felger comes, he just pulls a rabbit out of his hat and goes off on Fred. You guys said last week was your worst show ever, but with that mega rant Fred went on, I think it was one of my favorites ever. Great radio. Keep up the good work.
I don't think there's any question about it.
Anyway, did you guys see the injury report for this week? I saw it Wednesday and became a little concerned. That's a lot of players on the list. Well, I mean, it's been that way for the last 6 years.
Yeah. The injury report comes out every day.
It's trying to figure out which of the, you know, there's always 10 or 12 guys listed, which four or five are really seriously, worth being concerned about.
Today's will be more telling.
And call me crazy, I think Maroney being out means very little.
Well, particularly in this game.
I mean,
do you have any worry that Sammy Morris can't run?
Just run right over him.
That's crazy.
Yeah, no, in this game, I have no concern whatsoever.
The Bengals definitely lose out on that exchange. I mean, Moody Johnson for Lawrence
Maroney. I'm not convinced he won't play, though.
Is Willie Anderson out?
Tom, you were on the offensive line beat.
No, it was Levi Jones you're thinking of.
Is he out?
Levi Jones hasn't played yet. And
he's not listed as out.
He's not listed as out this week.
Like, Rudy Johnson is listed as out.
Right.
But the linemen aren't any of them. But did you hear the stuff about Bill? You don't go to press conferences anymore.
He reads them, though.
Did you see that stuff that Bill talked about, the rotation that they've had on an offensive line?
No.
I mean, not just for
apparently
injuries.
Not.
They're rotating linemen.
Cincinnati's offensive line.
In and out, as if in the way that Cincinnati talked about it is, defensive lines do that to stay fresh, and we've done it on offense, which is, even Bill admitted, very rare.
Mm-hmm. Like Wednesday, Thursday,
and how it changes
Friday,
things
Wednesday,
for the
Thursday,
defense,
Friday,
because you do, as a linebacker, go against a guard, and you know what kind of player that guy is, and you really only prepare for one guy. And in this case, changes it a little because you have to prepare for more than one guy.
Yeah, but
they've been using eight guys on the offensive line, liberally throughout the first 3 weeks.
It does go against that whole continuity
philosophy
that most teams have. But there was a year that Belichick, at least in the early
part
of the year,
early in the year.
Yeah.
He did it, I remember, a lot in the Arizona game out there.
Right.
What was that, 04 maybe?
Right. And it worked that game. They killed him, but,
Well, let's face it.
I don't know if it had to do with that.
Yeah, a lot of stuff that the Patriots have done over the last 6 years has worked, if you want to go by the one loss record.
Henry writes in. He says he's from Norway, or he's a Norwegian guy. I don't know if that necessarily means he's from...
Maybe it's Henry Norway.
Yeah. Okay. Love the show. How's everybody doing? You guys are a special gang. Andy is the muscle and the troublemaker, and the funny one, of course. Tom is the popular one that everyone likes for some reason. Paul is the smartest one. Fred is the leader, and Eric, no one cares. Just kidding, Eric. Lighten up. You've got some good sides. We just don't know them yet.
Neither do we.
Gary, you're the greatest. Thank you so much for blowing Craig up. I'm getting sick and tired of that man's voice.
Wow. Craig is not making a lot of friends.
Craig, don't let him get you down, man. I'm on your side. Of course, this is only your good sides. You probably know your bad sides, I guess. So let's talk football. Randy Moss, Deion Branch, Wes Welker, or Moss, Stallworth, and Welker. To Tom, here's my top five college QBs. I guess that was a question first I need to get to. Would you rather have Moss, Branch, and Welker, or Moss, Stallworth, and Welker?
Moss Branch.
That's not even close.
Not even close.
Yeah. Well, not only because I think
it's what the guy means to the quarterback.
Yeah. It's the style of play. You Stallworth is a poor man's Moss.
Well, and that's,
so you don't need another one of those guys. Whereas Branch is absolutely exceptional in this offense. We know that. We've seen it. So look, I agree with Felgen.
Let me ask you this one: would you rather have
Branch can go underneath or long? He can kind of do both.
Would you rather have Moss and Welker or Chad Johnson and Houshmandzadeh?
That's a great question. I heard
Chad Johnson and Houshmandzadeh.
Me too.
Yeah, I think that they might be more talented. Able to do more different things. Like they talk about Welker as being one of the, you know, and look, the guy's been terrific, but Houshmandzadeh is
a beast,
able to do all of those things that Welker does and make bigger plays. So
I don't think you can put him in the Harrison and Reggie Wayne clash yet. Wes Welker, it just doesn't make sense to me. No, I would take those two first, and then I would take Johnson and Houshmandzadeh.
You would take Moss and Welker.
No, Wayne and Harrison. Oh, you take Wayne and Harrison. Houshmandzadeh and Johnson second.
Who else is in that pantheon?
Fitzgerald and Bolden, because I think Bolden is phenomenal.
But you know what? But Fitzgerald's been a disappointment, hasn't he?
A little bit, but they don't have a lot.
He catches a ton of catches a ton of passes.
Such
but.
A stud.
You know, it's hard.
Holden
I mean,
is a monster.
They're beyond their prime now. Well, especially one of them, but
Holt and Bruce,
just unbelievable
for sure.
To Tom, here are my top five college quarterbacks: Matt Ryan, Andre Woodson, Brian Brohm, Colt Brennan, and John David Booty. Who are your top college quarterbacks?
Well, I right now I would say Matt Ryan and Woodson.
I love Woodson.
Those are my two favorite right now. Ryan's played the best, and he's looked good too.
He's made a lot of good. Does Booty get not as much love because he's on such
a
great team?
He doesn't get as much love because he throws to wide open receivers and he just throws the ball up for grabs a lot. I don't love him.
I think Carson Palmer kind of had the same thing, but then he proved that he
Carson
was really
Palmer
good.
Carson was Palmer was way more talented than any other of those USC quarterbacks. His
Let me ask you Palmer question. Was on bad teams at USC. Three really bad teams, and then Pete Carroll came in the last year.
Let me ask this question. We asked this question, was it 2 years ago before Palmer tore up his knee in that playoff game?
Is it possible to have a collapsed lung for a short period of time?
No, it's a different question. We said if you were starting a team tomorrow and could draft any individual in the NFL, who would be your first, second pick? My first pick would be Bill Belichick. But
Dan Klecko.
Not counting coaches, players only?
Not counting coaches. Players only. And I said 2 years ago before his knee went out, Carson Palmer.
Tom Brady?
You're taking age into consideration
because I am.
He was younger.
Oh, okay.
He's like 4 years, 5 years younger than Tom.
Yeah.
I would still take either Brady or Manning, and I'd be good for five or six more years, and I'll worry about it then.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like Brady and Manning were, 34 at the time, and you figure you might get two more good years out of them.
Well, it's Mike trying to make headlines again.
Not at all.
No, look.
Carson Palmer's a
Carson
stud.
Palmer is, without question, number three behind those two.
And if he's with that offense in Indy or with this coach here,
forget the offenses. If he had a defense that was commensurate with his ability, I mean, it would be a whole. That's the second time I used that word this week, by the way, Gary. And
can Ari send in the definition?
Yeah.
What are you, Tiki Barber?
What did he say, Connote, Andy?
Connote?
Connote. Andy was reading Fred Light emails last week. No, I agree with Felge about Palmer, though. He's pretty good now, as Bill would say.
I just love the way he plays. He's not a gunslinger. You know, he checks down. He's accurate with the short ball. He's steady in the pie. He's just all those things. And if he has to, he throws it all over the field. But that's not his game. He's not like
Favre. I was a little like, did you watch any of the Seattle game last week?
He did
a little of that kind of, I'm just going to throw this one here. And, you know, it is out of character for him. And I agree. That year that they had, they won the division before he tore up. It was at 05, I guess. That was about as good as you can play that position, especially on a team that has that much responsibility. It's very similar to Manning for all those years playing with no defense in Indy. You know, I think you could do a lot worse, Fred, than Carson Palmer. He's pretty good.
Yeah, and Liner and Booty don't even have nearly the same physical ability that he does.
Hey, who, by the way, is Stan? Was there someone named Stan that you guys were talking about the other day?
Stan the man from
I think
Arlington,
someone
Virginia?
Called Craig Stan.
Oh, because Matt writes in. He says, I was checking in if Stan forwarded Dolly Parton's digits for me.
That's Craig.
Yeah, he's looking for Craig.
Okay, so he says, yesterday's show was marvelous due to the absence of Stan. He admitted the other day that he has a son and had the nerve to name him Drew. I guess that's bad. Stop watching Wilfork in slow-mo 20 times and spend some time with your kid or get a job.
Stan is definitely Craig, Andy.
You need to get down on your knees and ask Matt Light for forgiveness. Come on, don't tell me with his new do he doesn't look like a blonde Jesus on HGH.
Have you guys changed your mind on that anyway, Tom Casale, on the Vince Wilfork hit?
What do you mean?
I just remember having you on the show Monday, and you were like, it's no big deal. It shouldn't have been flagged. It wasn't a... You know, wasn't
That's
a dirty
not
play.
Not what I said.
What'd you say?
I didn't say that at all.
What'd you say?
I said I'm kind of in the middle on it because I think those plays happen in a split second.
I never said that.
And I just said to Fred earlier in the show, if he's gonna hurt, if he's gonna go after his knee, I think that has to be predetermined because I think that play happens in a half a second. And I think when you're going down like that, you just so I think if they wanted, if
was it a dirty play?
No,
no, I thought so.
A little bit. I mean, the foot.
I wasn't asking you, Fred. I don't need to ask you.
It's hard to say that forearm, you know, it just. That's normally, the part I don't think that's the reaction of somebody going down with the arm. That's the problem, and that's the reason for the fine.
I think it's the opposite of what your normal reaction would be. That would be to brace your fall and try to get your arm under you instead of outside of your
body. I think the NFL had to do what they did. I think their job is not to measure intent. So they did the right thing, but. To call Vince Wilfork a dirty player, I just think it's wrong.
I'm not calling him a dirty player.
Well, he was defending himself as if people were.
Well, because that's the way he reads it.
It can be a dirty play and not
be a dirty player.
And that's how I feel about it. Now, if we're talking about Vince Wilfork on the edge of being fined for plays like this three times a year for the next 3 years, then I'd start labeling him a dirty player. You know, much like I think Rodney Harrison could be. I think he's a dirty player. But... I don't see any indication that Vince Wilfork plays like this.
Right.
I think there was one isolated play that he did something that I would say was definitely over the line. I don't think it was the most egregious thing I've ever seen, but I think the forearm is hard to say, like Tom put it, it's hard to say that's a natural movement, that forearm coming out at the knee.
Now, as we talked about earlier, Vince is more upset. If you do a Google search on that play or put their names, Wilfork and Lossman, you'll see a bunch of articles come up and there's a lot of references to him being cheap or dirty or whatever, and that's what he's upset about.
That's right. Yeah, but that's, you know, you're gonna have to live with that. That's what happens when plays like that happen. Now, the one thing I'll say, Andy has talked about this a little bit in the past. I'm not so sure I agree with the whole below the waist thing on a quarterback.
I do too.
I think there are, now in that particular play, I absolutely agree with it, but I don't think that it should be just a blanket. You can never do it legally below the waist. I think that one was a little bit different, but
is the rule you can never tackle a quarterback below the waist? Period.
Mm-hmm.
In the pocket, obviously.
Yes. Yeah, it has to be in the pocket. Yeah, if the guy's scrambling, then you're tackling him like anybody else.
I didn't realize that was the actual rule.
Yeah, maybe 2 years ago, Andy, one of those summer sessions that we had.
Andy's sitting here playing Tecmo Bowl game. Taking the day off.
I'd rather get hit in the head than the knee.
Absolutely. Right, and that,
not me.
And that's why I think those lower body shots are more dangerous.
You can't hit him in the head either.
I know. I'm saying get rid of that rule. Yeah. Let him hit him in the head.
I'd rather get hit in the head. I mean, talking concussions.
Basically, the area that you can tackle a quarterback is literally smaller than a strike zone.
I'd rather limp the rest of my life than not be able to know my name. Just me being crazy.
So, let's see. Mike in Tampa says, I'm a displaced northerner, and I take a lot of flack for being a Pats fan. Unfortunately, I have to listen to Tampa Talk Radio on my way to work, but every chance I get, I listen to PFW. Thank you. I live amongst the biggest bandwagon jumpers in the league. Tampa fans are brutal. They have been jumping down Gruden's back all offseason, and now they're 2-1, which won't last, and they think he's a god again. They know nothing about football. Thank God I get a few minutes of sanity whenever your show is on, minus Tom. Anyways, wow, doesn't like you, Tom. You know Mike from Tampa?
Nah, I don't know.
You owe him money?
You don't care. I don't care for him.
Nah, I don't like the cut of his jib. Okay.
Anyways, I was wondering if Chris Collinsworth disgusts you as much as he does me. How did this guy get a job at NBC? He knows about as much about football as Paul knows about picking games with point spreads. Wow.
This guy's all over us.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, we're in a dead heat.
Yeah. It's been 3 weeks.
I know. Don't worry about it. I'll pull away.
And if you do, you get a free steak, you fat.
Oh, man. Let's see. Paul, no comment?
He's eating chips right now. Okay. He can't.
No comment about what?
About you not being able to pick games with the spread?
Oh, no, that is what it is. I'm the last place guy.
Who can?
Just so you know, the guy who's in first place is one game over .500.
We're never below .500 here.
Well, you're not above it either.
Not right now, but last year, well, we were, like, killing it last year.
I don't think so.
It's only week three.
Matt is from Oregon, who says, by the way, Fitzy rules. You know Fitzy?
I think we've talked about this. Yes, I think he's tremendous.
All right. I know you've gotten a million emails about the website, but come on, really? Too many bells and whistles? Too complicated? Can't ask PFW? How dumb are people? Let me break it down for you. If you want to read something, look on the left side. If you want to watch or listen to something, look on the right side. It's as simple as that. And the site looks better now. I'm with you, Fred. Thank you, Matt.
That is from Fred. First he defends Fitzy, then he defends the website.
It's from Matt from Oregon. You can look it up. I'm not the only one that gets these emails. So there. Bastards.
This is interesting. Andy's playing.
Let's see.
You want to argue about something, Fred?
Yeah. What do you got?
Think of something.
Well, while you're thinking, I'll read Chelsea's email. She's Cali girl. She says, this is her second email, but my last one went unread. I'm here in Los Angeles, originally from Worcester, and listen over podcast. Still listening to yesterday's show. Just want to give you guys props. I enjoy listening to you while I'm at work. Keeps me awake and working hard. Keep up the debates and half-assed jokes. Good enough for me. One question. When Rodney Harrison comes back, do you think he'll be as strong and fast as he was in previous seasons if he isn't on HGH anymore?
It's a good question.
Assuming that the past few years he was taking it, will a clean and straight Rodney be able to live up to his past?
It's a good question.
Why wouldn't he be on it anymore? They can't test for it. They already know he bought it, so he's already gotten in trouble for it. If I was Rodney, and I'm being dead serious here, I would continue taking it. He's not. Am I wrong?
No.
I mean, they're never.
He's
got to
be careful
out
about how he's going to get it.
Yeah, I mean, you just have someone else do that for you. I'm sure he knows another athlete somewheres that can get him HGH. So if he does, I would just continue taking it.
Don't you think he would have done that the first time?
You would think so, but he, like I said, if I bought it myself, just working for the Patriots, I wouldn't use my name and credit card. That was just stupid.
Let's see. Shad says, why in the world would Vince Wilfork intentionally risk his reputation on injuring J.P. frickin' Lossman? I would argue the Pats' chance of victory increases with every snap J.P. takes. The guy is garbage. J.P. must have a real inflated sense of self-importance to think that somebody would target him. J.P., as Pats fans, we want you in the game. So there.
Makes a good point. Trent Edwards didn't do too bad.
Let me explain this, okay?
Uh-oh.
Do you remember I think it was 2 years ago that Richard Seymour kicked Tarik Glenn in the head?
Yes, stomped on him.
Okay. Does anybody think
Fred, you remember that?
Yeah, Fred remembers.
Do you, Fred?
Do you remember that play?
Vaguely.
No, okay.
Fred, and I'm trying to make a serious point.
I know.
I'm not trying to be, you know, as you say, anything but Patriots.com. I'm trying to make a serious point. Richard Seymour, okay, he's one of the most respected guys in the league, right?
Yes.
Do you think that he went out and said, I'm going to kick Tarik Glenn in the head today?
Well, how about the time that Logan Mankins took a shot at the defensive lineman in the nuts?
A similar thing, but I think it's more powerful with a guy like Richard
Seymour. I
think in
the heat of the battle, you do things.
Something happens sometimes. Right. Things happen.
But a guy like Kevin Mawe does it consistently.
He's a cheap, dirty player.
And that makes him a cheap, dirty player.
Exactly.
You're right.
That's exactly the comparison I'm trying to make. It's not necessarily a conscious thing that Vince Wilfork went out and said, I'm going to take a shot at J.P. Lossman's knee today if I get a chance. I don't think he did that. But a play happened, and it just happened.
He was there, bang, bang, wanted to take a shot, took a shot. Hit him in the knee, unfortunately, but it was a dirty play.
I don't think anything.
If the guy steps one step back, he probably whiffs.
Fred, if someone did that to Brady, where would we be today?
I said the same thing, Mike. I understand we'd be
screaming,
and we'd be calling for his head.
I think there was one.
Try and do that a little bit.
I'll give you an example. The guy from Jacksonville last year, I think, took a cheap shot at Brady.
Oh, totally.
And that's not anything but
when he hit him in the back.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's a cheap shot. Now, I don't know anything about that. I don't even remember the guy's name.
Ingram,
I don't know.
It's the linebacker.
Clint Ingram. Yeah, there you go.
Right.
All right. I don't know anything about his reputation. I don't know if he's a reputation like Kevin Mawai, if he's a dirty player or whatever. But that play, I thought, was dirty.
Okay. Fair enough.
It can happen. I mean, sometimes a regular, clean, you know, respected player can do a bad thing.
I hear you. Okay, Chris says, according to Mike Reese, Kevin Falk was the only player not present at practice today, so I guess Maroney is present. That could be true, but that doesn't mean
Maroney has been present all week.
Right. That doesn't mean he is full participation in practice.
That means he was present to stretch.
Right. Right. We'll know more later on today when
one drill.
When that last injury report of the week comes out.
So. Will we really?
Yeah, what are we going to know?
Well, I mean,
you're not going to know anything on that injury report.
No, but I mean, if there's a change, we'll see it. If he was limited yesterday and he's not today, that's a change.
The only thing you would know is if somehow they listed a guy as out. And
that's
never happened. Very, very rare in Patriots land.
This guy has gone to the length of giving himself an email address called ihatefelger@comcast.net.
That is touching.
He says, I hate Felger. The show goes downhill once he gets on. Thanks.
We should keep a tally on that for the next month or so. How many guys I hate Felger and how many guys
this picture up here, the most hated man in Boston with Dan Shaughnessy. Maybe we need to replace that.
I'm just the most hated man in your office, right? I mean,
and that picture of Dan Shaughnessy is right next to the Patriots Monday crew with Bill Belichick in all their little gray hoodies.
Let's see. Chris says, I'm a podcast listener and a little behind the times on this one, but I wanted to point out a major Ron Jaworski blunder this week.
Ooh, and that's a rarity.
Jaws reports on ESPN Sunday Countdown. Quote, no quarterback in the league is playing better than Brady. One of the main reasons for success is the phenomenal way the offensive line is played. Opposing defenses haven't gotten to him very often this season. To help further protect him, the coaching staff has him employing the shotgun much more than he has in the past. So far this season, he's been in the shotgun 66% of the time, and he's been wildly successful when not under center. He's 42 of 58 for 457 yards with 5 touchdowns and just 1 interception, end quote. Given that Brady is 70 of 88 for 10 TDs and 1 interception, the assertion that he's been wildly successful when not under center may be true, but it misses the point that when not in the shotgun, Brady is 28 of 30 for 5 TDs and no interceptions.
It was my understanding.
I emailed Jaws,
really,
but
no
figured
math.
I was more likely to get some play from your show. Paul, what do you think of that? You're a stats guy.
Well, I'm not really that kind of a stats guy, but I think it's clear that Tom Brady's been pretty good regardless of formation. The only thing I would say in defense of Jaws, and probably I'm only saying it because I like Jaws, maybe it's a little bit more impressive his numbers out of the shotgun because generally those are passing situations, and maybe when he's under center, it's more of a running situation, and you know he's getting some guys that are wide open. That's a stretch, but I think Brady's been. I mean, he has 6 incomplete passes in each of the 3 games.
And I think Jaws was making a comparison to Brady in the shotgun in years past,
right?
Compared to
that
to
could
now.
Be too.
I don't think he was comparing in the shotgun now to not in the shotgun.
First under
now.
Center,
right?
Earlier, Laurie was here to talk about the game of the greats, and Eric, who's better known as Stripper, says that they're hiring.
I saw that email upstairs. I got a chuckle out of it.
Andy's laughing. You shouldn't let your girlfriend be talked about like that.
It's his mistress, not his girlfriend.
Yeah, let's get that right.
All right, let's take a break, and we'll be right back.
When you got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. And hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
She just, you know, just always wanted to. She works for Northeastern, the Sports Society, you know, the nonprofit over there.
Yep.
Yeah, that's where she works at.
I'll get to that. All right, three, 2. And we are back here at Gillette Stadium for Patriots Friday. It is Mike Felgren. We're joined by Benjamin Watson, Patriots tight end. Ben, how are you?
Doing well. About yourself?
Hanging in there. You a Monday night kind of guy? You like the lights? You like the hoopla? You like being on primetime?
I like it once we're there. I don't like the wait. I don't like the extra day, you know, practicing in a short week on the other side. But the hype, the playing at night, that's always great.
Tell me, you know, to the casual fan, they'd say, you're practicing one extra day. What's the diff?
It's a big difference as far as recovery goes. I mean, you have that. It's good on the one side, but then you got that quick turnaround after the Monday. You only get that Tuesday off, and then you're back at it preparing for the next week. So it can be tough on the back end. So,
well, you know, I was talking to Matt Light about this last week. You too a little bit, and Vrabel was killing me for it because he thought they were softball questions. But I get a lot of people who ask me these sort of questions, and that is on a Monday night game, what the hell do you do with yourself all day? You wake up in the hotel, and then you got 12 hours to kill or something? What do?
You just think about the game. That's the other bad thing. You know, you're thinking about what you got to do instead of waking up, going out there and doing it and getting the game going. It's kind of tough to just sit there. But, you know, once you get out there, you get playing. It's always exciting to play at night under the lights. So kind of like high school, Friday night under the lights, right?
That's it. What about playing a team with that kind of offense? Do you feel as an offense that, you know, if it's a shootout, you got to make every possession count? I know that you'd feel that way anyway, but these sort of games, is it heightened?
You know, not really, not for us. You know, we go out every time we step on the field, we want to score points. And no matter who we're playing, no matter what their offense is rated or not rated, we always want to score points whenever we get the football. Our goal is to have the punter sitting on the sideline. So, you know, no matter who it is, we're trying to score points regardless.
How does Bill pump up the defense for Cincinnati?
Yeah.
I mean, have you seen any film of the 51 points they gave up to Cleveland?
I've seen some of it.
You have?
I've seen some of it. You know, that was a shootout game.
See, I would think that Bill would keep that film away from you so you don't.
Well, the thing is, we get a chance to look at film on our own a lot. And, you know, we kind of do our homework. So we've seen them, you know, give up a lot of points. We've also seen them, you know, play well against the Ravens and everything and get a lot of turnovers. So, you know, they've got a good defense, and our offense is obviously doing well. But I don't think defense or offense, I don't think either of us needs him really to get us motivated. I mean, once we go out there, we got a job to do.
Cincinnati is a turnover kind of defense, as you said.
Yep.
Feast or famine, they'll give up plays, but they're also around the ball. How does that manifest itself? I mean, are they ball hawkers, or do you think they call certain plays to put them in positions to get the ball?
A little bit of both. You know, they got a nice blitz package, and, you know, they swarm to the football to try to strip it out. And also, you know, sometimes teams are forced to just give them the ball. You know, you watch some of the turnovers, and sometimes teams just, you know, give them pretty much lay the ball on the ground and let them get it. So it's a little bit of both. But regardless, they've done well, you know, in the turnover margin.
How do you think about your little run here? 3 games, 3 touchdowns. That's not too bad.
Not too bad. I'm enjoying it while it lasts. You know, I hope it continues, definitely.
Do you think you are getting more space with Randy Moss on the field at the same time?
You know, getting more space, but also, you know, he warrants getting the ball whether he's, you know, double covered or single covered. So it's, you know, it kind of works both ways. But
what I mean is when you go to line up and you see the defense making their adjustments or pointing out who's where.
It hasn't stopped him, though. that's the thing.
It sure has. Absolutely.
So I don't know what, you know, I don't know what they're going to do. I mean, if they're pointing him out now and he's still, you know, getting off on Sunday. You know, that's pretty bad. But, you know, they do a good job of stretching the field, you know, Randy and Dante. And, I mean, you know, all our receivers do a good job of getting downfield. And Tom, you know, as always, as he's been doing before I even got here, does a good job of getting the ball to whoever's open.
So. But what I mean is for you, do you sense that you have more room to run now underneath? That there's just more real estate for you and Wes Welker
there's definitely less there's definitely less doubling on the inside. You know, when you got a guy like Randy out there, they gotta respect it. You know, they gotta respect it. They gotta double him or they gotta put some type of coverage to him. So I think a main thing to go along with that is the running game also. You know, when you've got the DBs backing off, then the front seven has to deal with the run game. They can't bring a safety in there all the time to stop the run because then they'll have single coverage in the passing game. So,
it's Ben Watson, Patriots tight end here on Patriots Friday on 890 ESPN. Benjamin Watson, I should say. Benjamin, I know it's not really your concern, but I'm sure you've seen the play Vince Wilfork and the hit on J.P. Lossman. He got fined pretty good
actually,
for that
I didn't
one.
See, actually, I didn't see it.
You've never seen it?
I haven't seen it. People have been talking about it, and I even asked Vince, and he was like, you know, he saw it, I guess, you know, watching the film, whatever. But, you know, we watched the offensive film. So
picture a 330-pound man falling on a guy's knee with his elbow outstretched.
Falling on his knee with his elbow. JP was standing up, I guess?
He was planted to throw. I think he had just released the ball, and Vince got him sort of with the elbow, side of the knee. Bang. Yeah. But if you haven't seen it,
I haven't seen it.
Do you think, in general, that rule, they've really, they being the league, has put a conscious effort on not letting you hit the quarterback low? And I don't know. To me, it seems like a smart move because they're just so prone there with their feet stationary.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's – I mean, whatever – being an offensive player, whatever protection we can get, you know, I'm all for that. But at the same time, you know, a lot of people in this league, you know, a lot of it's not intentional. You know, nobody wants to see somebody else get hurt. I mean, we all work too hard, you know, but whether we play for Patriots or Cincinnati, we don't want to see anybody get hurt. So it's usually not malicious when something like that happens. It's just kind of an unfortunate, you know, side effect of playing a game of football.
Ben, here's something else we've been talking about the last couple of days. It turns out the league, for whatever reason, over the first month here, is calling a lot less offensive holdings. And it's not on this team particularly. No, you guys don't have an offensive holding in three games, which is kind of rare, but not this year. There's actually five or six teams like that, and it's just the league's not calling them like they used to. Have you sensed that? Are the linemen saying that to each other? Hey, they're not calling this year.
not that I know of. I think we're just going out there playing, honestly. I didn't even know that stat until you mentioned it. But maybe we're just blocking better, man.
Well, then a lot of teams are blocking better. I mean, it's, you know, all maybe, of a sudden,
maybe,
it's
maybe, you know, maybe we're just blocking better. I don't know.
You know, you are. You're blocking well. But I think the league is also... It's just, it's too big of a trend for it to be a coincidence, I think.
You think?
Yeah. I mean, Bill hasn't pointed it out to you. He hasn't come in and said, guys, this is the way they're calling it this year?
Not really. I mean, I've noticed we haven't had that many penalties on offense this year. Knock on wood, of course. But I don't know if the referees are making a conscious effort or not.
Benjamin, what's the confidence level of this team right now?
The confidence level is very high but very realistic. I mean, it's three games in. We've won three games. Great. But in the scheme of things, that really doesn't matter. I mean, we've got a long way to go. It's a long season. There's a lot that's going to happen. Nobody knows what's going to happen one game to the next. So we're confident. We're confident in the fact that we've been playing pretty well and that we're all eager to improve and continue to get better. So,
you know, I know Bill hates it when media people try and say a team has a certain swagger. Mm-hmm. You know, cause swagger doesn't win you ball games. It's just Bill doesn't want to concern himself with that. That being said, you guys seem to have a swagger. you carry yourself like a competent team. The locker room is loose. It just has all the earmarkings of a team that is good and knows it.
Well, we play, you know, pretty well the first few games. There's obviously room for improvement.
Where?
But
where,
we're just
where's
we're just
there
confident.
Room for improvement? Where's there room for improvement on the offense?
Have we completed every ball?
Ben, you've completed 80% of them.
Every 100% is perfect. Made every tackle?
Do you know what the NFL record is?
Have we scored every time we had the ball? Have we stopped people every time we had the ball? No, we haven't. So there's always room for improvement. Wow. Always.
You know what the NFL record is?
Bill wants us to be the best he can be. You know, you probably never heard him in a meeting, but, you know, he does a great job of pointing out where we can get better. And he does his best. You know, he praises us when we do a good job. But, you know, his goal is to have a team that doesn't make mistakes and performs well all the time.
Give me an example of something he said that pointed it out to you in crystal clear fashion that stuck with you.
I want a team that performs well. I want a tough physical football team that performs well under pressure. That's what he says. And no matter how good we are, no matter how great we win by, there's always things we can do better. And he also knows that there's going to be tougher teams, there's going to be tougher situations down the road. So he's always preparing us for that.
Do you know what the NFL record is for completion percentage in a year?
No, I don't.
70. You know, Brady's at 79.5. He's right about 80.
Hopefully we don't get many snow games.
Right. Benjamin Watts is Patriots tight end. Thanks for coming by. We appreciate it.
All right, man. Thank you.
All right, we're back with more live from Gillette Stadium on Patriots Friday, 890 ESPN.
Hi, this is Richard Seymour. If you're a big Patriots fan, show your team pride and win great prizes by ordering your Patriots specialty license plate. Team Rules says your car has to be registered in Massachusetts to be eligible. When you place your order, you have the chance to win Patriots tickets and memorabilia. Proceeds from the sales of the license plates go to the New England Patriots Charitable Foundation. Now that's worth driving for. To score your new set, apply online or in person at your local RMV or log on to Patriots.com for more details. Show your team spirit, give to a great cause, and get your Patriots license plate today.
Three, two. We're going to do that again in three, two. Welcome back to the program. It's Mike Felger here live from Gillette Stadium on 890 ESPN and Patriots Friday. My favorite point of the week is when I get to talk to Mike Vrabel because he just gets his ass kissed all week, and finally he comes in on Friday and gets some real questions. And I think it's good for Mike to, you know, someone's got to keep him honest after running his mouth all week. Michael, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Something we've been discussing the last couple days, I find it fascinating, but it makes sense. Offensive holding around the league, Mike, is down, way down. They've stopped calling it.
And scoring is up?
Big time. Have you noticed this on the field? Because you're going against these guys every play.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I don't know. I just don't think you get a lot of calls anyway. So when you get them, you know, you're going to get a couple a year, maybe one or two a year at the most. I mean, that doesn't surprise me that holding's down and scoring's up. That's a common – that would be – you know, that would make complete sense.
Well, that's the way the league goes. I mean, the competition committee in the NFL, Mike, is not there to create fair and balanced competition. The competition committee is there to make sure that offense remains strong and points continue to go on the board.
Yeah, I mean, to produce a better game.
Produce a more offensive
more
game.
More exciting game. Well, that sells. A more marketable game.
Okay, but that doesn't make it a better game. I think the league has it wrong.
Of course not. Not to you.
Well, no. Does it to you, Mr. Defensive End, linebacker?
You know,
do you want
I don't know.
Points?
I just think that if you take yourself out of it and look at it from the fans' perspective, you know, I think it's easier for a 7 or 8 year old boy.
What are you implying here? I'm 30.
To watch. Let me finish. To watch the game when there's scoring involved. They don't understand defense. They can't understand the concepts. I think your average fan can understand a touchdown and a ball flying in the air and being caught or a big run. I think they can understand that more than they can. Well, that was a really good defensive play, and maybe there's not even a stat involved with it. Mm-hmm. Whereas in, I
sure
kind of struggle to say you, but a knowledgeable sports fan would be able to look and see that, man, that was a good jam on that play, or it really that was a good rush. It disrupted the play, and he didn't even get a sack or anything like that.
And I like the second thing you're talking about. I like that solid defensive play, and I think most football, hardcore football fans appreciate it and like it. What I think most football fans want is hard-hitting, physical, competitive ball, whether there's points on the board or not. But the league is so hell-bent on those numbers on the scoreboard for the women
right,
and
because
the 7-year-olds.
Those guys don't buy jerseys. They don't buy jerseys, and they don't buy, you know, the memorabilia. So, you know, the hardcore football fans are going to have to live with the game that we've got out there.
I mean, it's very objective of you. You make your living on defense, and they do everything they can to squash you guys, and yet you think it's okay.
I think it's the best for the league. I think it's best for everybody.
Wow.
Because that, I mean, and then salary goes up, the salary caps get higher, and guys make more money. So.
And you give up points and lose your job and get replaced by a rookie and don't make as much money.
I wouldn't say that we're giving up more points or I'm going to get replaced by a rookie. I mean, that's... I mean, if you could play, you're still going to be around to play.
On the field, with the holding thing, though, are guys talking amongst each other saying, they're not calling it this year. You know, this guy's going to kill me, and I'm not going to get it. Or are the offensive linemen saying to each other, hey, they're letting it go this year, boys. Let's go.
You know, I think that it just seems that you kind of do things as being called in the game. I mean, do business is being done. And if you're getting away with some jams downfield or – vice versa, if you're not, then you can't do it. You know, I think that if a guy gets called for a holding penalty early in the game, maybe he's going to be a little more subject. You know, he's going to be subjected to kind of playing a little softer. But they just, you know, they're not calling it. It's got to be blatant, and it's got to be a tackle almost.
It's Mike Vrabel here on 890 ESPN and Patriots Friday. What were your thoughts on the Vince Wilfork hit on J.P. Lossman and the fine? Excuse me.
I think – I would echo what Vince said. I think it was pretty standard. I think they pretty much had to do it. I know in my heart that Vince isn't a dirty player. I mean, it's just, you know, listen, we're trying to rush. And you get in there and guys are, you know, tripping you up or tackling you or whatever. I had one early in the season that would have been close on Pennington. You know, just coming around and a guy gets a piece of you and you're diving for the quarterback and you hit him at the knee or above. And, you know, not trying to hurt anybody. You know, he's trying to make plays and do your job and get pressure. I mean, you only get so many opportunities to get in there. And when you don't, you know, it's just like, oh, he just got it off and you're just trying to get a hit on him.
Well, and that goes back to what we were just talking about. The league wants to protect those quarterbacks for the numbers, for the offense. And, again, can you look at that and say, all right, good for the game, not good for me?
Well, I don't think that getting fined, I mean, I think that there's a difference between a late hit and a dirty hit. You know what I mean? I think that you have to differentiate between the two, because it's a late hit. You know, you're just trying to get a hit on a guy, you know, and that's one thing. And you live with the 15-yard penalty. And then there's times where you're like, you know, maybe, you know, that was intended to do more than make the play.
Where do you think Vince has stood?
I just said where it stood. Yeah. I think he was just trying to get to the quarterback, and I don't think Vince was dirty or they haven't made a dirty play. I mean, when we're in there and you're getting double-teamed or, you're getting hit or held, and you finally get to break through and you got a good pass rush, I mean, you're doing whatever you can. And sometimes you're on the ground, sometimes you're not. And you're just trying to make the play. And I think, you know, Vince said that and said that he was, figured he'd get fined.
Mike, I know you're not allowed to say. Bill Belichick won't allow you to say.
What do you want to know, Mike?
Is this the best
Your
offense?
Your spies inside the locker room.
No, I just know because you've never, for coming to the team 7 years, no one's ever said this is the best this, the best that, the best this, the best that. You're never allowed to say that, because then the Indianapolis Colts hear you say that the Bengals are the best offense we've faced, and the Indianapolis Colts could say, oh, they're disrespecting us. So you don't give opponents anything, so you don't rank them.
Is this the best radio show in this time slot?
Some days.
Some days?
Some days.
Some days?
Sometimes. It's a fair answer.
What a backdoor answer.
That's a fair answer.
When? What days?
When it's
the
good.
Days you're not here?
When it's good. Excellent point by you. The Cincinnati offense is pretty damn good, Michael.
It is good. But is the best? I mean, I think that there's like you said, some days, yeah. I mean, you put up 51 points or how many, 48 against Cleveland. And that's a lot of offense, and they have a lot of big playability. And I think when you allow them to do the things they want to do, run down the field, make double moves, not get Carson off the spot, everything that we talk about, he's going to make those plays. So on some plays, they look like the best offense. And then when he throws an interception or they run a play for no gain, then they don't look like the best offense. I mean, it's just, you know, week in and week out, they're going to be right up in there.
I want to hit on just a phrase you just used to hear a lot with certain sort of quarterbacks, get him off his spot. Certain quarterbacks were like that. Drew Bledsoe obviously is a guy that we know about, but there are certain pocket passers who you want to get off of their spot. Palmer's one of those guys.
I mean, if you look in the game and you look Monday night and he's standing back there, he's going to complete the pass to somebody. And so if we're not getting pressure, making a move around, you know, that's not going to be in our favor, and we know that. I mean, it just, whether it's a couple steps in or out or something, but he's a very mechanical, very technical sound quarterback with a big arm. You know, he's a prototypical quarterback. I mean, you look, there's a reason these guys are number one picks, mm-hmm. and there's a reason why a guy like Tom Brady is, you know, picked where he is and then is built and has become something. Carson Palmer was like this probably as a high school, you know, and he goes to USC and he wins the Heisman, and then he's the first pick. I mean, these guys are just, you know, very mechanically and very, very sound in their technique. And, you know, if you allow them to use their technique, they'll kill you.
That's what I like about him, is that he's very accurate with the short ball. He's not afraid to check down. He's, you know, I think last week I was just talking about this. He may have threw some balls that he wasn't happy with, but generally speaking, he's not just out there slinging the ball all over the field.
No, I think there's a purpose. I think he reads defenses very well. Yeah. I mean, I think you and I probably agree on this, if that's possible.
That's what I'm talking about, Michael. You like,
we're making progress. 4 weeks, and we're making progress.
You like Monday Night Football? You enjoy playing on that night? You like the stage? You like the lights?
You know, I do. I mean, I like playing whenever. You know, I don't like the fact that you get home at 4 in the morning, and that's your, you know, that's the beginning of your off day. Not real big on that, but other than that, we'll play whenever they have us play.
But there's a little more spice to those Sunday night games, those Monday night games. Keith Bullock, your good friend in Tennessee, called himself Mr. Monday Night.
Really?
Yes.
Three picks and he's Mr. Monday Night.
Well, he called himself that before the game.
Really?
Yeah, and then he had three picks. How about them apples?
He's good. He's really good.
He's got a yapper.
It's overpowering.
Talk about a yapper.
Yeah. Next question. Please tell me there's more. Please tell me you didn't waste half my Friday to come down here and talk about Carson Palmer and
half
his technique.
It's been, what, like 8 minutes?
Talk about his technique and how you used to cover hockey. Have you told the listeners out there you covered hockey?
I haven't done that this week, but we could get to the nap stories because it is a Monday night game and you need to fill the day. And
yeah, you know what? Probably, you know what? There'll be some people down from Columbus, so
there
I'll get to see some people in Cincinnati.
Go back to your old days, smoke some pot, go to the mall, hang around the food court all day.
No, crack. Crack, not not pot. Actually, cigarettes was back in college.
Cloves, I'm sure.
But anyways, there's a really nice rib place down there, Montgomery Inn Ribs. It's the boathouse. It's on the river. And it is really, really good. Now,
do you do that during the day?
No, that would be the night before.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not going to eat the ribs the day of the game. But you, it is a place that you probably, you and your wife wouldn't go because your fingers would get messy and stuff. And they're really, there's no silverware. And
the wood's okay with that. I don't typically like, I need good cutlery.
Right. So you guys probably should steer clear there. Stick to a little trendier places like New York. I noticed you guys went to the New York trip. I heard you guys made, you guys were in Page Six in New York Post.
Yeah, we made it for sure.
It's impressive. It's like you guys are like Tom and Giselle, but just little. A little lower scale.
Yeah, a little. Just a little. All right, Mike.
You're speechless. I just talked for 2 minutes and you didn't have no rebuttal.
Well, I don't know where to go with it.
Well, let's go somewhere. You want Matt Light, some guy you can handle?
Yes.
Okay.
See you, Mike.
I'm out of here.
Thanks for coming by. Appreciate it. We got more coming up next on 890 ESPN.
Hi, this is Richard Seymour. If you're a big Patriots fan, show your team pride and win great prizes by ordering your Patriot Specialty License Plate. Team Rules says your car has to be registered in Massachusetts to be eligible. When you place your order, you have the chance to win Patriots tickets and memorabilia. Proceeds from the sales of the license plates go to the New England Patriots Charitable Foundation. Now that's worth driving for. To score your new set, apply online or in person at your local RMV or log on to Patriots.com for more details. Show your team spirit, give to a great cause, and get your Patriots License Plate today.
In 3, 2, and we're back here at Gillette Stadium, 890 ESPN and Patriots Friday. Matthew Light, Patriots left tackle, joins me in studio. How you doing, Matt? How's the hair?
Doing great. Shampooed, conditioned, ready to rock and roll.
You getting a lot of comments on your look?
No, not really. I mean, you know, every now and then I get called Fabio, and I guess he's sported to look similar to this, but I think I'm much better looking than Fabio.
Very
of
similar.
Course.
You know who else Thank I would you. Say? A heavier, you know, plus about 100, plus a beard and about 120 pounds. But the German dude in Die Hard that Bruce Willis went against.
I know a guy you're talking about. How about the lead singer for Nickelback, who I think also I'm not that ugly, but it's all in the eye of the, well, person calling me that. So if they see me that way, that's what I am.
What are you going to get the other fellas to do it? Because you got them all growing beards last year and whatnot.
No. We did that as a group, and this year, you know, some of these guys can't grow long hair. I mean, it's just, you know, some of them are losing their hair faster than it's coming in.
Fair
so,
point.
Right.
Logan Mankins, I don't think he could do it.
He's got the ability. Yeah, he's a hairy man. Yeah, extremely hairy.
But would it come down like straight like that?
He might be more of like a puffball.
Yes.
Yes. Precisely. Yeah. Right. Different style, but nonetheless, it is long.
Matt, I'd love to talk about your hair all day, but
we can do that.
We'll get to some football. You guys a confident bunch right now?
Are we confident? We've definitely built confidence, you know, through the last three games. I think we're confident in some areas. I think there's other areas we have work to, you know, yet to do. And I think, you know, the more and more you have success, the more confidence you get. So, you know, we're as confident as we can be at this point.
Well, I mean, I've talked to some of the other guys about it. I know Belichick would hate it if you say this team has swagger or they're lacking swagger. However, you do seem like you're carrying yourself like a team that knows it's good. I mean, it just has that feeling, Matt. I got to tell you.
Well, I don't think we're beating ourselves up. But you know, hey, look, we've played three, you know, pretty good games, and you know, it is what it is. But you know, like I tell everybody else, you know, I mean, it's three games. You know, there's a lot of football left, so. You know, we'll see how it all unfolds.
Well, I heard Bill comes in and tells you, hey, you were 3-0 in 2002 as well, got off to that high-flying start, scored a bunch of points, and then you lost the next four games. So
that happened.
That's how quickly it can turn.
That's exactly how quickly it can turn. So everybody can go from, you know, being happy and carefree and we're the greatest things on earth to the worst possible situation and feeling you could possibly get and going, you know, dropping four games. So, yeah, I mean, look, you take it one game at a time like we always have, and you prepare and you try to play as best you can each week.
Is that a fair comparison, though? This team in 07. No, but it's the truth.
You don't have to compare the two teams.
You guys
two
are much
teams.
Better. You're much better than
yeah,
you
but
there.
You don't need to compare them. You just need to understand what can happen, you know, if you take things for granted, if you don't keep working hard, and you don't continually, you know, work to get better. So, you know, it is what it is.
All right, Matt, the offensive line, I think, has been terrific. Looking this up, you guys have only one penalty, a false start by Billy Yates. No other penalties, no holdings, no anything.
That's a goal of ours each week.
Do you think you are actually playing more within the rules, or do you think the rules have lightened?
No, I mean, you know, look, you know, so you're gonna see it every week where there's, you know, holding calls and penalties, you know, being thrown that are correct, and there's some that aren't. I mean, it's the way we do things. But you know, I think also that you know we don't practice. You know, holding the guys. We don't practice, you know, throwing illegal cuts. We don't practice doing all, we try not to practice jumping off sides. So, you know, these are all things that we work on. Mm-hmm. And, you know, luckily, you know, we haven't had a situation where we've been in trouble with penalties. So, keep your fingers crossed. Let's hope that continues.
Did you know that holding is way down across the league? They're calling it less everywhere. Did you
know that? No, I didn't. I never really paid attention to it, but.
Bill hasn't said to you, hey, this is the way business is being done right now?
No. I mean, if you're not gonna game plan holding people, you know, I don't care if they're calling it or not.
Why wouldn't you go into a game saying to yourself, "Well, listen, they're not calling it like they used to. I can get away with a little extra grab." Why would you not incorporate that into, you know, how you're trying to block somebody?
I mean, you know, if you're gonna do that, you're gonna waste your time, you know, working on things that are absolutely ridiculous. I mean, we don't. If you hold in this league, they will call it. If they see it, they will call it. I mean, that's the bottom line. You know, I mean, hey, look, whether it's being called a lot or not, you're definitely not going to go into a game saying, hey, we're going to hold this guy on this play. I mean, that's just a little ridiculous.
It's Matt Light, Patriots left tackle here on 890 ESPN. Talk to me about some of the schematic things you've been doing up front. You've had a lot of success with, what do you call it, jumbo formation with O'Callaghan out there as a third tackle or an extra tight end, whatever he is. And you've gone max protect on that a lot and thrown the ball deep. You've run out of it. Seems like it's been a productive formation for you. Why do you think it's so good?
Well, I mean, you know, they obviously have to make a decision on how they're going to defend it and how they're going to treat Ryan. And, you know, obviously we don't, you know, we're not one-dimensional when he's in there. We know we've obviously thrown it and run the ball effectively. So, you know, it just gives us something else to throw at him, something else for them to think about. And, you know, look, as long as we can keep running the ball, I think we're going to have success, you know, regardless of what we throw out there, what formations or how we're lining up. You know, in my eyes, when we run the ball effectively around here, we have a lot more success than, you know, when we go out there and we got to catch up or, you know, throw the ball constantly.
Yeah, do you get the sense that when defenses see that formation, they're still conditioned to think run, power formation, you know?
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, it puts them in, you know, like I said, they got to make a decision. How are they going to defend it? Are they going to, you know, how many guys are they going to, you know, throw on the strong side of the formation? You know, how are they going to drop guys down and, you know, put an extra guy in the box and, you know, all those things, you know, but that's what you do offensively. I mean, you don't want them to sit there and look at you on film and say, oh, well, when they do this, this is what happens.
Right.
You know, so, I mean, it makes sense to try to confuse a defense. That's kind of our job.
And it's also, I think, easier to do when you have someone like Randy Moss who, when you only have one or two receivers out in a pattern, if one of those guys happens to be someone who can run past double coverage or beat double coverage, then it makes it all the more effective.
Oh, man, hey, it's nice having Randy Moss.
That's what I've been saying, yeah. Matt, for months on
not,
that.
Not a problem there, buddy.
What about the zone blocking scheme in the running game? It's something we saw, I think, maybe more in the preseason than we've seen in the regular season, but a lot of people were thinking that you were going to start trending towards what the Denver Broncos had been doing for so long with the zone blocking principles and the running back then, one cut up field, that sort of thing. Are you doing that more?
Well, how do you view the zone scheme?
How do I view it?
Yeah.
Sort of like those stretch plays where it's sort of, you know, you're not specifically going after one guy. You're just sort of, meandering towards one side, picking a zone, and then Maroney, it's up to him to find that one cutback lane and hit it. I don't think in zone running plays there's as much pulling or traffic.
If I ever like hear you use the word meandering and.
So what's the verb?
And blocking
what's
in the same.
Verb? What are you
doing? Hey, look, you know, there's a million ways to skin a cat, right? And we're going to do whatever we think is going to be the most successful for that week. And, you know, every defense presents a different challenge. And, you know, you have to take into account who you're blocking. So, you know, I think we do a pretty good job of mixing it up. And, You know, I think, but I don't think we're much different though than a lot of the other teams around the league. And I'm sure that, you know, if you want to single out, you know, everybody likes to go to Denver's, you know, mm-hmm. offensive style and how they do things. And I think that, you know, if you look at the whole league, I mean, look, there's 31 other teams out there that are doing the same thing. So, you know, we just run what we think is going to work best.
Matt, have you done all your headshot things for Monday Night Football? You do all your camera work. I know you're a popular guy when these guys come in.
No, I don't know. I take it as it comes.
Who's introducing the offense?
I don't know at this point. That's one of those things that I never really care about. You know, I've never watched a Monday Night game, so
You don't watch sports. You don't watch football.
Yeah, I don't watch football.
Okay. You introduced it on the Sunday Night telecast here, right?
That's one of those things. You know, like I said in the past, you know, I don't really think about that stuff, but when they come to you and say, hey, you want to do this, and then you do it, you know, hey.
And then you got to say something sort of cutesy or quippy about
it. Yeah, well, you know, they try to get you to be creative. You know, however that works.
Just get Vrabel, the big mouth Vrabel, to do it.
He's pretty good. I mean, he backed you down earlier today.
No doubt about it.
He did. He's intimidating. He's a pit bull.
Well, that's his style. When he's a schoolyard bully. When he gets on top of you, yap, 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 and he's a big man. But if you can get one shot at him, he turtles like a little snail.
I'll tell you what, buddy. You going after Mike is like you jumping into a lion's den wearing nothing but a meat jacket.
It's true.
You're liable to get bit.
I'm overmatched.
And you're more than likely to get bit. You might get mauled and eaten. I'm
overmatched. Why do you when you introduce, you go Matt Light, Purdue University? You know those guys who go like to their high school.
I tried to say university with that. I just like Purdue. It sounds a little bit better, I think. I mean, obviously you're not going to say the University of Purdue because that's not how we are. It is Purdue University, but
you don't,
I think they understand the fact that it's a university, so I leave that part of it off. Uh-huh. Matt Light, Purdue.
You don't ever go
take it or leave it. If that's what you asked for, it, I gave it to you. Let's move on.
You ever go to the high school?
Go to the high school.
Yeah, you know, some guys say, you know, whatever, from
Matt Light, Purdue, Greenville High.
Something like that.
Senior high.
Something like that. Is this a homecoming game for you? Was Cincinnati the closest city to where you were
Cincinnati
from?
Is, it's split. It's either Cincy or it's Indy. I'm right in between.
Uh-huh.
And then you got probably another hour tacked on to get to Cleveland. So from all those.
You have a lot of people here this week?
Yeah, I think I put in for a good number of tickets.
Weird question, but does that add to any nerve factor?
No.
If you have family actually there knowing that they're watching you?
No, because I never see them anyway. I don't really think about it after the game? Well, afterwards, yeah. Yeah, afterwards I'll see them. But it's quick, it's short. Yeah, you know. Yeah, it'd be nice to see them all, though. I'm looking forward to it. You know, all the aunts, all the uncles, the buddies,
mm-hmm.
you know, the cousins, the nieces.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, good stuff.
I get it. Matt, good luck on Monday. We appreciate it.
Good talk, buddy.
Appreciate it.